you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What up, folks? This is Cooper Delicious for the Music 103. And we're jamming to this crazy listening pleasures music.
And I'm speaking as a former competition marksman. That was damn good, too, so don't f*** up.
All right, where is the thing? And it's too late.
Hoping. Now it says no delay.
Where's the button? Where's the button Kevin and Bean always push when somebody says something bad? I apologize. That's the button that says light. Hey, that's great. We have a lighted button here that says light. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Kevin, Bean, Lisa May, somebody, please. Can somebody kill Doc on the Rock? God, he's the most annoying person I've ever heard in my life. Please, someone kill that f***er.
Okay, you're on my list.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is just Nature's way of saying hi.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Louise.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Roll another one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Did you want to buy some drugs?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. But just pass it on down.
And now,
no stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is
badass weed.
Our feature presentation.
Liquor!
That's what I'm talking about.
He sounds a little happier this morning than he did the other day.
Don't have to end it on a down note this time. Usually we have to, it almost comes to a funeral, but now, fantastic.
I'm very happy for you.
We have the championship in hand.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Well,
is that fair to say?
Yeah, oh, it's over.
Okay.
If you win one game in round one, then the championship is at hand?
Might as well not even play any more games.
Done. Season over for Phoenix.
Just hand it to us.
Didn't realize that. Okay, that's good news then, I guess. Fantastic.
And the next game here, I guess, is on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Love that. 5:33, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is Friday, the 27th of Aprilingus.
Orange?
No. No, not orange.
That's a good one, though.
There we go. Nice try, though, Dave.
Mexico.
Hey, I want to tell you guys about, let me see, Ronaldo Canton is his name from Salt Lake City. He has an on the internet screen name of Steel Pony 63, and he was just the latest guy in the news who was arrested for soliciting an underage girl.
Oh, no.
He had been typing back and forth with a girl who he thought was 15 and was going to meet her at a shopping mall. And he showed up and, of course, then found out that it wasn't a girl at all. It was actually an undercover police officer. And the only reason I bring this story up is because, and you know, we're obsessed with the Chris Hansen show, the Dateline NBC To Catch a Predator.
So, you thought you were just going to come shopping, did you?
And you love seeing on the fly what the guys come up with when they realize, all right, I've just been caught for child solicitation. This is not, I'm not going to the motel with a 15-year-old girl to have sex as I planned today. Instead, I am going to jail. Oh, my God, what am I going to say to get out of this one?
Right.
So he said, according to the charging document, the man said he went to meet the girl to see how internet safety programs work and planned to ask the teen why she was sneaking around behind her parents' backs. He denied that he would have participated in sexual activity with her and said he was just there to make sure she understood that the internet is a scary place and she should be careful.
Well, that's big of him.
So girl at a time.
One
girl
at a time.
He's trying to make the world a safer place.
So why don't you come down on the man who's just trying to clean up the world? Why don't you come down on one of the good guys, huh? Why don't you take him away and put him in jail?
Guy just tries to help.
That?
What do we do? Kick him in the teeth.
Exactly. See, it's no wonder that people don't stand up anymore. It's no wonder that people don't take it into their own hands to try to make the world a better place if this is the way the man keeps them down.
The homosexual is right.
That's right. That's right. The man is keeping him down. You are absolutely correct.
Anyway, I don't know how that's going to fly in court, but that was his best effort at the time.
Well, he gave it a shot.
Don't you get the idea that that the judge will probably laugh if he tries that?
I don't know, because it could be, he could hear it from every single person. the number one go-to idea.
But you've got to know, I know when I'm pulling off something that I can pull off when you're lying, or like certain things you go, as it comes out of your mouth, there's no way they're going to believe this, and that's one of
right.
those.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm interested in teaching safety, internet safety, one-on-one.
I just wanted to make sure she knew how scary
anything,
the internet
yeah.
was. Right.
Yeah, I don't know her, but I just want her to be scared and very careful.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Well, I know that.
That's very
what you're talking about.
Let go!
All right.
Let go!
All right, now.
Let go!
Orange?
All right, and let me ask another question before we get going on today's show, and that is, it will be closer to, let's make it multiple choice, Coachella this weekend will be closer to A, 110, B, 120, C, 130.
None of the above?
Really? You don't think it's going to be that high?
Oh, I do, yeah. But I'm afraid. I don't want it to be.
I mean, unfortunately, the correct answer is not on the board. It was a trick question. 150 is actually the answer we were looking for.
Yeah, it's going to be a little rough. It gets a little warm during the day.
Certainly.
But there's nothing better than, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 110, and there's three tents there on those grounds. And a couple of them are for, like, dance tents.
Right.
Mm-hmm. DJs and stuff. And you go into those tents, and the body heat in there doubles what it is outside.
Yeah, and it's 200 in there, yeah.
You try to dive outside so you can get some cool, refreshing 110. It's really massive.
And the best part to top that all off, the icing on that cake, is that you can't really bring a lot of stuff in with you. And your car's in El Monte.
Right.
You're in Indio. You can't even think of going back to your car to get a jacket. But as soon as the sun goes down, it immediately switches from summer in Tempe to winter in Green Bay, and you're wearing thongs and nipple tassels,
and you're sunburned. There's nothing worse than when you're sunburned than being freezing all of a sudden.
Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Good times.
It's really like being on Mars. I mean, it's either 300 degrees or it's 400 below. I mean, those are your choices. That's it. There's no comfort level in between. There's no like occasional minute where it's 70.
But at least it's not 3 days this time instead of two.
Yeah,
that's right.
True.
It's always been 2 days. This year it's 3 days starting
exactly.
today. So it's exciting. I love Coachella time. Always love it.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Good times.
Rage Against the Machine, of course, the big news. They're reuniting 10:40 Sunday night. I will be there. And Tom Morello from that band will be here in our studios this morning.
Great.
It's been a good week. We had Tori Amoson yesterday, one of our probably one of our top five favorite guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'd have to say Tom Morello is on my list of top fives as well.
Yep.
So having him back-to-back, what a treat.
Very cool. We got Nicolas Cage on the show today. He's got a new movie called Next.
Next?
Yeah. The name of the movie might not stick with you, but it looks like it might be interesting. It's a guy who can see into the future 2 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not unlimited, but 2 minutes he can see.
That is interesting.
When I first saw the trailer for the movie, it's just a coincidence, but my reaction was, next.
See what you did there?
Yeah, we'll see.
We also have John Cryer on the show today.
Yes.
2.5 Men. We have Chuck Liddell on the show today.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like Mike's very excited. I guess he's going to be on Entourage this Sunday. We have Mark Burnett on the show today. Coming up just after 6, we're going to ask Mark about his 1,700 new games.
Oh, it's crazy.
So we're excited about that. The King of Mexico is back. I do not believe he's got the amount of credits needed to pay off the bet. 10 o'clock this morning, his knees get broken.
Wow, he's only got 4 hours and 21 minutes to come up with the rest of the cash?
Right.
Otherwise, that's it? Dude.
What are you going to do?
Well, I think we'll tell you in the 6 o'clock hour, but I think we have a good idea. Okay. I think we have a way that he can earn the money that
he needs. So he can still walk?
Yeah, because nobody wants to break his knees. I keep trying to tell him that.
But it's the rules, right?
You got to do what you got to do. It's a code of honor.
Right.
So there's a way he can earn money actually here at K-Rock this morning?
Yes.
Hmm.
On his knees.
I'm sorry? Will he be operating out of one of the men's rooms?
Do I get to play?
you hope.
No.
No?
No. Ralph will be here with the movie because it's Friday morning. We'll tell you about Psycho Mike's big gay date this weekend. All of that stuff. Plus, we have Ducks tickets for tonight's game, which is the second game of the second round.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And the Ducks are playing the Vancouver Canucks. And we're going to do that with the Kevin and Bean phrase that pays.
Ooh.
The phrase
haven't done that in a while.
That pays. We're going to naturally, as naturally as possible, work in the phrase that pays sometime in the next couple hours. And when you hear it, be caller 20, and you'll win tickets for tonight's game. Now, can I play the moment with as a way of showing, or
how
do we do
so.
That?
All right, I think so, because this is the, let's face it, when it gets to be playoff time for the Stanley Cup, if you're a Ducks fan, there's no way you think of your favorite team without thinking of Kevin and what he had to say about the wonderful Ducks.
Now, this is just an example. This is not the time for you to call in and win the tickets.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
So that apparently is the phrase that pays.
Okay.
And I'm going to suggest that that Lisa needs to do her part as well. She had a part in there.
What did I do?
Did you hear it? We need to recreate this as it
all
was.
All right.
So I'm going to play one more time.
I didn't recall I did anything.
Again, this is not the time to call for the contest, but when you hear it later on in the show.
Okay.
Listen for Lisa's participation. I'm going to request that she do this as well.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him? Okay, so it's not common.
It's not common.
You have
okay.
to say that in the middle of it.
All right.
Okay.
So the next time after this, then you hear regular Duck, longtime fan of him, that's when you call? That's
yes,
how it's going
to
work?
But it has to be identical, and it has to be with it's not common.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. And you win tickets for tonight's Ducks game.
Okay.
Hockey playoffs are fantastic. They're so much better than regular season. It's just great. And if you've never seen a game in person, you will love it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Chapter 14, Temperature. During the day, temperatures at Coachella can reach those similar to that of the surface of the sun. You'll be tempted to strip off all of your clothing, and even then, may consider finding a way to remove your skin. The very last thing you'll be thinking about is a jacket. However, once the sun goes down, evening temperatures can plummet to anywhere from freezing to the approximate temperature of liquid nitrogen. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt, or your friends may find you later as a blue-lipped corpse in the parking lot. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival, and as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
That's a good tip, I think.
Seems like.
I think so.
It's not possible.
Try not to die?
It's not possible.
What is it?
400 people die every year at Coachella.
They do?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an accurate number, Ralph. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone dying at Coachella.
That's what it was. I read something. It was 400 or nothing.
Hey, it's 5:50 on the Kevin Bean Show. It's Friday morning. Mark Burnett, who really, I don't know how the guy keeps track of all the shows that he has on the air. I bet he's flipping around at night and he comes across the show. Oh, yeah, I think I did that one. Is that one of mine? Honey, is that my show?
Yeah. But and the answer is always yes.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we're going to talk to him coming up in just a few minutes here after 6 o'clock on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
I guess it's okay for you people just go on with your lives. I guess you can just, hey, look at me. I'm smiley, happy radio guy. I guess that's
happened?
Okay for you.
Someone die?
Yes. One of the greatest performers of this or any other generation.
Okay, for Ralph, that means it's an obscure person that only he cares about.
No, everyone cares
That's
about
my
him.
Guess.
Everyone cares about him.
Okay. Let us be the judge of that.
Bobby Boris Pickett.
No kidding!
The man who gave us the Monster Mash.
It was the Monster Mash.
A classic song. You heard it every Halloween.
Yeah?
Sadly, Bobby Boris Pickett has crawled into the crypt for the last time. He won't be coming out to have drinks with Drac and the rest of the gang.
any longer.
It is the most popular Halloween song of all time. You got to give him that.
Goddamn right it is, Baxter. And for a reason. The man was a genius. Not only did he care about Halloween passionately, but he also cared about the environment. He also cared about global warming. Do you remember the climate mash?
if I can find it, that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, we only gave you a day's notice.
This is why I sent out the note requesting that we have this available this morning.
Yeah.
Anticipating this.
Odds are there'd be a little comedy routine revolving his death.
See, that Ralph would say, what about that climate dash? You'd go, oh, I got it right here.
Like, I don't understand that. This is Psycho Mike's job to have that. I don't know where it is.
Where is he, by the way?
I don't know.
I sent it to him, too.
He took a vacation during the show.
Walked out.
All right. Well,
we'll have it next time.
Maybe the next hour, that little piece of comedy will be pulled off by those who work here. Kevin,
so we want you to hold on to that setup in your heart. We want you to remember how funny that setup was.
Remember
is what we're saying to the listener.
Remember how passionately I pretended to care about Bobby Morris Pickett? Then it would have been very funny to hear a little piece of climate mash. So we'll put it all back together later.
That's all right, Psycho Mike. Maybe next time he dies, maybe then we'll have it.
That's right. Britney Spears, please let this be true, is writing a tell-all book.
Oh, yes.
Now, consider the source. It is Star Magazine, but they claim they know for a fact that she is writing her autobiography.
Fantastic.
She's ready to spill plenty of secrets about her famous exes, too, according to the story.
Okay.
You're going to love this. Britney blames most of her problems with drugs and alcohol on the heartache she experienced from Justin Timberlake.
Oh, no, she did not.
According to the story, she couldn't trust him. She's going to say that she believes he constantly lied to her about being with other girls, and that destroyed her self-esteem.
Wow.
That's why she turned to drugs and alcohol.
So it's her own jealousy.
No, it's Justin's fault.
Oh, Justin.
For not being a loyal, loving boyfriend. Towards the end of their three-year relationship, Britney also claims he called her fat. And told her she needed to lose some weight before he would have sex with her. Like dating Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Also included in her book, of course, her marriage to Kevin Federline. She says that his womanizing, his wild spending, and verbal abuse destroyed the marriage. Britney will also say towards the end of their relationship, he deliberately tried to drive her crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's smart enough to do that.
He has to drive her crazy. That's a short walk. Right around the corner.
So it's everyone's fault.
Yes.
Except for any decision she made.
Yes, Kevin, now finally you understand.
Okay.
It does seem like, although I'm surprised to hear, you know, that initially Britney Spears writing, but it does seem like if she's trying to rehab her image, if she's being told, hey, you've got to clean things up and let people know the real you, it seems like a book would be one way to do it. There may be some truth to this.
Wouldn't she be better off, though, saying, you know what, I effed up, I got some problems.
Yes. I really made some mistakes, and I'm going to try and come out with an album now, I hope people support me. That's all she needs to say.
Yeah.
Supposed to. The men in my life can't accept love from a real woman.
Yes.
Right.
Idiots. This is a scary story. A woman obsessed with Monster Garage host Jesse James tried to run him over on Sunday night. Did you hear this
story?
Yeah.
Dude.
This comes from TMZ.com, of course, our favorite entertainment news website. Her name's Marsha Valentine, and she apparently is a stalker, insanely obsessed with Jesse James, and tried to use her Mercedes in an attempt to kill the TV show host, but then left before the cops showed up.
I had heard she was actually obsessed with Sandra Bullock, which is why she was trying to off her husband.
Ah.
I heard both ways.
Hard to tell where that craziness lies.
Yeah, you don't know.
Apparently, Jesse's 10-year-old son, Jesse Jr., was with Sandra Bullock at the time. And was not a target, so police located Valentine and arrested her on Monday.
Bean, you're a stalker. Can you give us any insight into this story?
You know, I was thinking, you know, not to defer your compliment, but we should ask Lightning, because he's also obsessed with
Jesse
James. We should ask Lightning what he would do.
I think it was Lightning in a wig with astronaut diapers.
Yep, could have been.
He loves that dude.
Yeah. Heather Mills is busy lining up her next reality TV show gig.
Yes.
This time it's going to be on her own side of the ocean. Apparently she's being considered for the next British version of Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother, where she moves into a house and hops around.
People would tune in to see that. I mean, she is their you know, version of our Omarosa, someone you hate so much you can't not watch her on television.
Insiders in England say it could be her chance to win over the British public. However, they also think it could be the quickest eviction ever in the history of Big Brother.
That'd be funny.
She'd be the first to go, so there you go. Speaking of reality television, the ratings are in for American Idol Wednesday night when they did their big charity show. 27 million people tuned in to watch the two-hour show, which was combination fundraiser and elimination. Although there was no elimination, there was plenty of fundraising.
Do they have any numbers during the Stayin' Alive segment? Did it go way up?
Yeah. People were calling other people saying, you have to see this. Ryan is lip-syncing. Also, in the TMZ.com story, they mentioned that we were promised performances by Pink and Gwen Stefani, if I remember correctly, when they originally sold us the show.
True.
However, both of those segments were cut from the lineup because of time constraints. Producers say they will air the performances on upcoming segments of Idol instead, so you'll be able to get a chance to see them.
Okay. So Elvis Presley gets to be on the show.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani does not.
Well, he's dead. He gets first choice.
He's dead. He can't wait.
No.
All right.
Gotta get back to the crypt with Bobby Boris Pickett. Oh, this is good news. Comedy Central has tapped our pal Sarah Silverman to host the upcoming MTV Movie Awards.
Oh,
good choice.
Excellent.
Excellent choice. It'll be Sunday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. You'll be able to check out that show. Sarah said she was enticed because she's Jewish and they're paying me with $1 million worth of matzah. The resale value is somewhere around $2,000, she measures. Sarah also said she's going to have a tough time replacing last year's host, Jessica Biel. Those are very big shoes to fill, mostly because Jessica's feet are like boats. No, really. They're like clown shoe feet. Sarah also said, although the nominations have not yet been announced for the awards, she's really excited about Wild Hogs. It's so well-crafted, she said. see why Jimmy loves her, can't you?
Sure.
And in my world of comic book geeks and sci-fi fans, Daily Variety Magazine has announced that 20th Century Fox is going to make a new superhero film, Magneto, based around the villain from the X-Men movies. Remember, Ian McKellen played the bad dude? He had magnetic powers. He could like move anything that was metal.
Yeah.
They're going to do the backstory of Magneto, who actually was a child in the World War II concentration camps. And then developed his power to manipulate metal object while in there, and then used his powers to hunt down Nazis after the war. So, that's pretty cool.
Killing
Nazis with mutant powers.
I guess, yeah.
Those bastards. I hate Nazis. That's the only minority group, really, you can slander anymore on the radio. You
know, and rightfully so.
Freaking Nazis. Hate them. See, I won't get fired for that.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays? Jack Klugman. Remember Jack Klugman? He was Quincy.
Yeah, I do.
He was Quincy, the medical examiner. He had that show for many years. He was on The Odd Couple, too. That TV series ran forever in syndication.
He's still alive?
Still alive. Originally from Philadelphia.
I've had him in my death pool for 40 years.
He's 85 years old.
Wow.
Survivor of, like, throat cancer.
Yeah.
But still kicking around. I used to love that Quincy show.
I don't remember what.
Most suspicious medical examiner in the world. They bring anybody into the morgue. You're like, natural causes, I don't buy it. He like, cut everything up and look, keep looking until he found something bad.
And
happening.
It never was. He was always right.
He was always right. It was always murder. But they would say, oh, this guy drowned in his pool. I don't buy it. You find out what actually happened. Announcer Casey Kasem.
Ah.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
He's 75 years old today. Ace Frehley from Kiss is 56 years old today. Greatest rock band in the world. Gene, you have any birthday wishes for your old pal Ace Frehley?
Ace Frehley, I wish you a very happy birthday. Actually, I got you a cake.
Oh.
At least me. Speaking of cakes, I have a special frosting that you might not try.
Gene, why does it have to turn ugly?
Always.
You can't resist.
And no one looks worse at 56 than Ace Frehley, by the way.
That's
no one.
For sure. And singer Sheena Easton is 48 years old today. The very pretty Scottish singer whose last hit, I think, was talking about her vagina, how they tasted like sugar walls.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's the last hit I remember her.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about our old pal Mark Burnett? How about Mark Burnett on the line, creator of this show, Survivor, Apprentice, so much more. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. I heard your voice on the Grammys, right?
No, that was... yes, Mark comes out swinging, and you'd have fired his ass if that was the guy working for you, right, Mark?
That was Mark and or Brian.
Mark, I'm surprised you didn't produce the Grammys this year. That's one show that actually made it to air without involvement from you, right?
And next year when I do it, you will be the voice.
That's right. I forgot you are doing it next year.
Bean from his island castle up there in the north.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Well, we always love catching up with Mark Burnett because he really is just, I get exhausted just reading about the stuff that he's got on the air. It's just unbelievable how many hours of television you are involved in. And now TV's not enough. Now you're conquering the internet with this this new Shrek promotion, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say no when you're dealing with Shrek, and I had a chance to create a game around Shrek. There's tons of these games for kids. This one, you actually use the real Shrek characters, the real voices, and kids love it.
So, how did this come about? I mean, you do TV. How did you get involved with a Shrek online tournament or whatever it is?
Jeffrey Katzenberg asked me to. You know, I'd done tons of work with DreamWorks, and I did this show called Gold Rush last year with AOL, where I buried $1 million in gold around America.
Mm-hmm.
I had clues on the internet, Gold Rush. And so Jeffrey said, you know, did a good job of that. Do you want to work on Shrek with me? Where do I sign up? And my kids obviously are loving that dad is working around the Shrek franchise.
That Gold Rush thing, was that K-Fed wrapping the clues?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And you feel good about that?
And that didn't get your television credibility yanked?
No, increased it.
Okay. Right. Here's the thing. We have met Mark Burnett several times. We've been in his office when he was telling us about The Contender, which is a great show.
That's right.
Burnett just sits in his throne, and people come in, and he goes, kids with pogo sticks, go make a show. And then they just run off. And just everything that comes to his mind, he just throws out, and people just go make the show. And almost all of them work. It's bizarre.
Yeah, but you know, seriously, what a massive K-Rock fan I am, and I only listen to your show. I'd come and work for you guys. You guys have the best fun of any job in America. You just hang out and riff on people all day long.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's true.
Well, you are very kind. So let me give out this address. It's shrek.aol.com if you and the kids want to play. And, of course, Shrek the Third opens up on Friday, May 18th. Now, Mark, I know that later this month you're On the Lot finally debuts. Now, this is a show we've been hearing about for a long, long time. We're hoping, if your busy schedule permits, that we can get you in so we can really spend some time talking about this new show you're doing with Steven Spielberg, because this sounds like it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome, and actually, you know, I know I can trust you guys. I'll send you guys a DVD of the open of the show. Just don't release it anywhere.
Okay,
just so
of
you
course.
Can see what how the show opens and looks. You know what? It really is a show of its time with the whole YouTube-type universe out there, and so many people at home can buy cameras and edit systems on laptops that can make movies. Everybody's making movies, and here's a show that celebrates that every week. They make a different short movie, and the America votes. It's almost like American Idol for filmmakers.
Can I get a clarification? Is YouTube considered releasing it?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Well, more people see some of these YouTube videos than see films in theaters anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable how popular it is. And what I love about the show, Mark, is that there are a lot of people out there with talent, and you're right. The technology has got to the point where they can now do the stuff that we're talking about. But in the past, it's been impossible to get into Hollywood, to actually get somebody with power to look at your stuff. A show like yours gives those talented people an in, and it gives them a chance to be, you know, get in front of a guy like Steven Spielberg or a guy like you. That's what's remarkable about it.
Yeah, you're right. And we brought in 50 finalists like a week or so ago, and we got to show their films, and they didn't know who would see them. And I brought in Brett Ratner, Gary Marshall, and Carrie Fisher to sit
Big
there
names.
And judge their movies. And then on the third day, John Avnet also came in. And so these are major A-list Hollywood people who are actually judging the movies. And these kids could not believe they were showing and discussing their movies with these Hollywood A-listers. Yeah, in the end, it's all about aspirational and trying to provide television that people aspire to. And the chance of showing your homemade movie to real Hollywood people with a chance to work at DreamWorks, the winner in only 3 months' time gets a $1 million gig working at DreamWorks.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool. That's not bad, right?
That is May 22nd on Fox. How about Steven Spielberg? What's he like to hang out with?
He really, really works hard. I mean, honestly, Steven watched all the movies that we had to, all the finalists, with hundreds of movies. He came to the meeting with all his notes of every movie. And so just the fact these kids knew for a fact Spielberg had watched their movie and made his notes on it. And Steven Spielberg really, really works hard.
That's weird. I think I would make the movie. I'd be cocky. I'd be confident. And then they go, Spielberg's going to watch. I go, I'm going to take it back and work on it some more.
That's what I would do.
That really sounds scary.
That On the Lot, by the way, debuts on May 22nd on Fox, if I didn't mention that. Mark Burnett is on the line. Hey, I have to ask you real quick, Mark. And again, we always have so much we want to talk to you about. Is it true that you have another show that's coming soon that's going to try to look for the next president of the United States? Or is that just a rumor?
No, it's true. I've teamed up with MySpace, and MySpace and myself got together, and we thought, what's really relevant? What can we do to combine reality TV and the biggest in social networking? And we decided a show called Independent, where we're going to find the winner will be the independent voice of young America. Because I don't think all these news shows really know what young Americans really think.
Right.
So here's a show, you know, where we can actually get the voices of young America. You know, let's face it, this is a country where, for example, a professional wrestler became the governor of Minnesota.
That's true.
The Terminator, the governor of California. And what, a cowboy actor, Ronald Reagan, president of the United States. Anything could happen. And I think that the views of young Americans will be vastly different from what the politicians think they are. And so you win the show, you get $1 million, but it's $1 million you cannot keep. What you can do with that money is donate it to some campaign. You could use it as the seed money to start the third party in America.
Are you guaranteed the presidency?
Only if Kevin and Bean endorse you.
Right. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I watched some of that Democratic presidential debate last night on MSNBC, and I would like to eliminate, just wipe all eight of those candidates off and insist that your guy, whoever he or she may be, win instead, because I don't want to vote for any of those people.
You've got to admit, right, you've been doing your show forever, as long as I can remember, and the comments and the people who listen to your show, you've got to admit, a lot of them sound smarter than the people running for office.
Yeah, well there's no question about that. Plus, we'd have legal marijuana in this country, and that's what's beautiful about going to the young people, is that we take care of that. Like, on day one, that would be your campaign promise. On day one, pot's cool. You know what I mean? And then we got a better country instantly. I mean, within hours of the inauguration, we're living in a better and brighter America. That's what I love about the young people, and those are the kind of people I want to see on your show, Mark.
All right, so Mark, you're going to come in on in May when you're on the lot. Shows?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
totally.
Cool. Yeah. We'd love that.
I'll show what it looks like. It looks great.
Okay, and Yay Old Shrek the Third Tournament is on now at Shrek.AOL.com, and you can be the president, and he's also got a show coming out with automobiles and, I don't know, yogurt. Anything that comes to his mind, he just makes it a show.
Mark, you are the best, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great weekend, dude.
Take care, bye.
Thank you, man. Bye. So how are you gonna break Dave's legs? What's your technique? You can run over him with a car, hit him with a sledgehammer, slam him in a door? What are you going
to
do?
I so don't want to, but I did bring a pipe.
Oh,
you use a pipe, you can go the Nancy Kerrigan route?
Look, have you done this before?
You have to. I mean, if you bet somebody and they don't pay you, I mean, it's... You can't get away from it.
Thank God I'm not a gambler.
Yeah, it's really,
I had no idea it was this rough.
Really ugly. So, Dave, the King of Mexico, I have three alleged bets. One, best record, Lakers-Clippers. One, who goes further in the playoffs, Lakers-Clippers. One, who's going to get seventh place, Lakers-Clippers. And all of those
went
Kevin,
my way. As you read those, it occurs to me the Lakers won all of those and Clippers had none of those.
Right. And he's been mouthing off since the beginning of the season and has known this is coming since the beginning of the season and yet spent all of his money on his cruise and did not bring any in. And that doesn't work, right? It's not like I have any choice. It's the code of ethics that gamblers live by.
So we, being generous and giving him the opportunity to not have his legs broken on Monday, first day back from his vacation, we said, all right, we'll give you this week to earn the money. So the K-Rock listeners called in, and he spent one morning washing bongs at some listener's house. He spent part of another morning chainsawing a hot tub so it could be thrown away in Lakewood. He had to clean up a tattoo parlor down in Laguna Hills. Last we talked to Dave yesterday, he was out on the gopher hunt, getting rid of a gopher in some lady's lawn in Huntington Beach. I think that was his job. And he still, even with all that work, still hasn't raised enough money to pay off the debt.
He's a little short. He doesn't want to have his legs broken because of Coachella, which starts today.
Sure.
So he's outside in the parking lot, and he's earning some money right now.
Hey, what's up? This is Dave, the King of Mexico, and I sell Kevin $90 for my Clippers bet. So,
I'm working at the car wash, yeah.
Stupid Lakers.
Come on and sing it with me, car wash.
I hate Kobe.
Singing it with Phil and y'all, car wash, yeah.
Nicely done.
Wow.
See, here's my problem with Dave. He says stupid Lakers. He doesn't say stupid Clippers.
Right, exactly. He's still blaming the Lakers as if it's their fault that they're good and the Clippers are bad.
The Clippers had plenty of opportunity and plenty of talent, and they let him down.
Yeah.
But it's all about Laker hating for him, and that's why I'm going to make him pay.
Hey, King.
What up?
King, don't you think that maybe the Clippers could have tried a little harder in that last week of the season instead of losing, what, three or four in a row and essentially eliminating themselves from the playoffs?
Well, I think rather than face the Dallas Mavericks and get Kareem, they want Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. So, you know, they just tank it.
Oh, my God. Did you guys get a different owner?
No,
oh, then you're not going to have either of them.
Yeah.
King, how much money do you need to raise today out in the parking lot washing cars?
Well, granted, I only have $50, so about $40.
$40?
$40.
That's a lot of cars.
And we've talked.
Hold on, I got to scrub Lisa's wheels real quick.
Lisa? Hey.
Yeah, he's washing my car.
He's doing your car.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There we go. Okay, we're good.
And we've determined that it's $1 a piece, right?
Yeah.
For cars?
That's what we heard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's about $10, yeah. Sounds right.
Right, $1 a car, 40 cars is what we're saying.
Come on.
But I'll tip you $1.
Okay, so $2 a car. So that'll be all right. That'll work out okay. 20 cars by the end of the show.
You don't seem like a guy who is, how can I say this without being sued, motivated enough to get out and wash a car ever in your life. Is this the first time you've ever attempted to wash a car by yourself?
No, I washed my car once before. It was really dirty. So.
We don't have time here. We do have to, at another time, talk about his obsession with soft hands.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing gloves right now. So.
Are you serious?
I've never met another guy like that in my entire life, but Dave is obsessed with clean, soft hands.
Well, it's not like he touches women, so what?
Good point.
What
a waste
for?
Of you know, hands. Lisa.
All right, please. So, Dave, start washing. You got to finish by 10 a.m. or else I got to break your legs, dude.
I know, dude. I'm on it. I'm working on it.
All right.
Okay.
He's working at the car wash.
We're doing the phrase that pays this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're a hockey fan and you want to be in the crowd tonight, it's very easy for you to win. All you have to do is listen for the phrase that pays on this morning's show.
Right. And how do we tell them what it is without telling it?
Well, they'll hear the actual clip, right? The actual phrase that pays?
Okay.
Yes. When they hear that actual phrase, so we can say it. So it's the legendary quote from Kevin about the Mighty Ducks.
It's probably the most famous part of Anaheim Mighty Ducks history, I would imagine, is Kevin talking about the fan longtime him.
Right.
Right? That's what you're listening for is when you hear that, when you hear the actual gold standard of moments with Kevin coming up on this morning show, be caller 20 and win tickets to be there tonight and see the Ducks.
Are you a regular Duck fan you watch all the time, him?
Right. That's the one.
That's the one, yeah.
It's the best.
Don't call now.
Wait till you actually hear
Kevin say it. We'll play that famous clip.
Ralph and I only aspire to one day be associated so closely with greatness as Kevin is with that clip.
You will go down in history.
You gave it your best shot with peanut butter, but I don't think you reached.
I did try. 6:56, Friday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I'm going to miss him. Every October 31st, Bobby Boris Pickett, the man who gave us the Monster Mash, is gone.
Aww. Anna?
No.
Boris?
When was the Monster Mash first out? Was that like 30
It was 1962, Kevin.
62.
1962. Dance craze records like the Mashed Potato were all the rage. And a friend approached young radio DJ Bobby Pickett and said, why don't you do a Halloween novelty record? And you could make a lot of money because you do a dead-on impression of horror film actor Boris Karloff. And he said, you know what? That's a good idea. So instead of the mashed potato, I'll do the Monster Mash.
See?
Doing my Boris Karloff impression.
Now,
the
when
next thing you know, Booyakaw! Smash hit, number one.
Played every year for 40-some years.
Yeah.
And then when did it go so tragically south when he did the Climate Mash?
You mean when Bobby Boris Pickett stopped caring about just monetary gain and started to worry about the future of our planet, Kevin? What? Is that what you consider wrong?
Well, here's what I consider wrong. Destroying his original song.
Destroying? Adding another magical chapter to the legend that is the Monster Mash. He gave us the Climate Mash.
We were hiking past the White House late one night.
By the way, this sounds like a joke. It's not. It's actually him doing this.
When our eyes beheld an eerie sight, the president appeared with folks very strange. The zombies and vampires of global climate change. It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies, let the president rest.
behind his own protective levees.
Yeah.
They're doing the climate math.
Sweet.
Real science is bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
the
right.
Climate match.
It seems like they could have given those lyrics a once-over before he went into the studio to record.
He made that
it.
Up as it was going, as he was yeah. recording it.
Real science was bashed.
Oh.
They did the
and Kevin's glad
match.
He's dead. Kevin's glad that that great American yes. is dead. What's wrong with him?
Bobby Bars Pickett was 69 years old, passed away.
69?
Wednesday night of leukemia. Yeah.
He was old when I first became aware of him.
What do you want from me? That's old.
I want the truth.
That was his
man.
Age. That 89. Was his age.
99. I want the truth.
Did you catch those photos of Britney Spears on the internet being followed by 8 paparazzi vehicles? See those
Jeez.
Photos?
Yeah.
You have to feel sorry for her and the insane amount of attention she gets, especially from these rabid photographers. But New York Daily News says, don't feel too bad for her. They claim they have inside information saying Brit and her entourage tip off the press before she leaves the house.
Oh, God.
I've heard that's true, too.
And has been doing so for at least the past few weeks.
Calls them, I've heard for a long time. Calls to let them know where she's going, when.
Oh, I'm going shopping on Robertson. But yeah. Please don't follow me.
Oh, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate her more and more every day.
No kidding.
I really do. Paris Hilton was embarrassed in Vegas over the weekend. Apparently she showed up the Prince's new show at the Rio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Prince looks out in the audience, sees her in the front row, invites her up on stage. So Paris cannot resist a look-at-me moment. She of goes course. Up on the stage to be with Prince, and then Prince says, all right, let's see if she really can sing.
Are you kidding?
Paris looked at him and walked off stage.
That's awesome!
Apparently she stormed off stage and then left the show entirely about 2 songs later.
That's awesome.
Due to mortification. That's spectacular.
Don't mention that whore to me.
And you know, Mandy Moore... It's a friend of ours, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
We like to think of her as a regular gal.
I think we're having her on with us next week, in fact.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, she, unlike her predecessors, rarely uses her celebrity to get something special.
Right.
A lot of starlets throw around the don't you know who I am when they're going nightclubbing or rehabbing or having babies out of wedlock. Mandy, the only time she uses her celebrity status... is to get to the front of the line for roller coasters. She loves roller coasters.
Well, if that's all she
How
does.
How sweet is really? That? She goes to little theme parks and goes on roller coasters. She's perfect.
Let her. She's Mandy Moore. She can go to the front of the line of the roller coaster as far as I can see.
I'd say give her a damn theme park. That's what I say.
Give her a theme park.
Okay.
Mandyland. Okay. Oh, Mandyland.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be the best.
I'd ride that.
Oh, God. Now she's not going to come on anymore. She won't be on next week.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll stop saying.
Excited about the draft this weekend? Anybody?
NFL draft.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to sit my ass down on the couch for 12 hours on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. I don't watch it, but it is a sign, a glimpse that maybe football's going to come back at some time
it's
in the future.
It's that first crocus that comes out of the snow in spring that maybe there's a future for sports someplace.
Yeah.
What do the Eagles need? What are they hoping to get this weekend?
A team?
We don't know. A team. Bite me! We don't know. There's a lot. Depends on who goes. We're the 26th pick, so... there's no real saying on who's going to be left on the board by the time we get there. I know we need we could use a really big, burly third down running back. We need a linebacker, too, because those guys are getting old. Our linebacker corps is getting old, and
you can use a hetero.
No, we're not talking about the Cowboys here, Mike. We're talking about the Eagles.
But it's bad news for Bean, because, you know, the Raiders have the first pick this year.
Oh, excellent.
And it looks like they're going to pick Jamarcus Russell. Yeah, Jamarcus Russell. The quarterback out of LSU,
mm-hmm.
who is 6'6", 270 pounds, and has an arm like a cannon.
Fantastic.
If they pick him up, they're going to be better off. They're going to start winning some games.
Yep. The Raiders improve. You hate that.
I know. You're going to be upset because they're going to start winning.
I don't hate that.
I know you won't.
Seahawks are thinking of getting a new third-string quarterback. That's how solid they are. That's what they're going
Oh,
for.
That's what they're
going
to draft a third-stringer?
That's what they're talking about.
Oh, good for them. They could draft a hairpiece for their starting quarterback. Today's celebrity birthday is
Casey Kasem, America's Top Party. Yeah.
He was Scooby or Shaggy or both, Ralph?
He was Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Shaggy, okay.
Gee, Scoob, like wow, man.
He's 75 years old today. Ace Frehley from Kiss is 56. And Sheena Easton. I heard her baby takes the morning train.
Oh, I hear that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She works from 9 to 5. And then he takes another home again. He finds her waiting for him. Which is pretty cool.
What's the point of this story?
I'm Ralph Garman. That's the show this week.
Psycho Mike, are you with me? I don't think Kevin gets to be in the studio with Tom Morello next hour. Because,
how dare you? It's my favorite band of all time.
And you broke them up the first time. I don't want to take that risk.
Such thing, young man.
You're gonna say something stupid, and he's going to say, that's it. Screw it. I don't want to do Coachella this weekend. I don't want to take that chance.
He doesn't get to be in the same city. We need to send him to San Francisco.
I agree.
If I had that much power, I would have broken up a lot of other bands, dude.
Anyway, Tom Morello next hour from Rage Against the Machine and the new solo CD, The Night Watchman. We got all that coming up for you. Also, Chuck Liddell from the UFC, and you keep listening to win your Ducks tickets on K-Rock. First, give me the theme song for Two and a Half Men, because this is one of my all-time favorites. It does kind of seem like, I don't know, maybe they could spend a little more time with it. Like, maybe some lyrics. I don't know. It just seems like kind of an easy way out, if you want my opinion. But
work a little harder on the theme.
Two and a Half Men, of course, a huge hit sitcom over there on CBS. Airs Monday nights at 9, a very special episode this Monday night, directed by, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend John Cryer, back on the Kevin Abeen Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Johnny.
Woohoo! Yay, me!
John, remember all the years that we had so much fun with you calling you the show killer?
Yeah, they were good times.
John would do a new show, and it would get canceled, and we'd have him in. He has the greatest sense of humor, because we'd go, ha-ha, another one got canceled. He'd go, yeah, I know. But now you're on a bona fide hit, Two and a Half Men.
I'm sorry. It sapped all the fun out of our relationship.
Really has, to be honest.
John, didn't we at one point, no kidding, didn't we actually have some sort of an office pool where we had a bet by which, like, what date your show was going to get canceled or something?
Yes, we did. Well, it wasn't an office pool. It was an on-air bet.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Between us.
And I won on a technicality.
That's what it was.
Even though my show was actually canceled, it was canceled a full week after you said it was going to be canceled.
So it was on, like, 2 weeks total.
Yeah, right. But see, this is what's so frustrating for actors in television is there are lots of really good actors, and I think we all agree John is fantastic on the show and all the shows. But sometimes there's so many circumstances that go on to whether a show is a hit or not. You know, it's time slot and competition, and everything else. That sometimes you're just the wrong guy at the right time. You know?
Yeah. Those were all the rationalizations I made.
I'm sure. Now, how long have you been Two and a Half Men-ing now?
We just finished the fourth season.
No kid. Do you love it?
I do. I have a blast.
Is Two and a Half Menning, is that a verb now? That's a strange verb. You know what I hate, John? I hate the actors that get all uppity and think they can direct.
I know. They're such a-holes. I wouldn't call it a matter of uppityness.
Mm-hmm.
I would call it a matter of ignorance.
Ignorance.
I didn't know how hard it was.
Yeah, really? The reason I say that is because John Cryer directed Monday night's episode. And how did that come about? Did you go to them and say, I'd like to stretch a little bit? Or did they say, we need your wisdom, oh, John?
Yes, that's what they did. They do that pretty much every day, actually. And, no, what happens is, a lot of the time you get new directors in, and they don't know the characters as well as we do, and there's a breaking in period where they get used to the crew and all that stuff. And sometimes you get, a little exasperated with that. So... they figure if they bring somebody in-house, they don't have that, and everything can just go more smoothly.
That makes sense.
But oh, how wrong they were.
All right, so let me ask this. Now, of course, I haven't seen the episode because it doesn't air till Monday, but there's going to be an awful lot of close-ups on Alan's beautiful face, and we'll barely see Charlie in this episode, right?
Yes, because if you know me, I'm a very vain guy. And
nope.
It's all about how beautiful I am.
But I do hope that you used your power as the director to put him down a bit. Hey, Charlie, director here. Excuse me for a minute.
I use my power as a director to sort of change the tone of the show. I'm doing sort of a Quentin Tarantino thing.
Everyone dies.
Charlie's cursing, and then he shoots Jake in the face.
Excellent.
That's the episode I've been waiting for a long time.
Exactly. I knew it. I said there is a segment of the populace that is waiting for this.
Speaking of Jake, he plays he's the kid, and you guys are trying desperately to raise him. I actually have one clip of him watching television.
Ask your doctor if it's right for you.
Dad?
Yeah?
Do you suffer from erectile dysfunction?
Well, Alan, do you? Jake, what do you know about erectile dysfunction?
Not much. It's something to do with your penis, right?
Right.
And they say one out of three guys gets it, and mine's fine, so it's got to be one of you.
See? I was really happy to see that the spit take is still alive and well.
Well, thank you.
I love that.
We will keep that flame aloft.
Please do.
John Cryer is on the line. We're talking about Two and a Half Men Monday nights at 9 on CBS. Hey, is this this kid who plays Jake, Angus Jones, is he going to be ugly teenager or stay cute? What do you think?
I think he's going to go through as ugly a teenagerhood as one can possibly go through. Aww. If I have anything to do with it.
Oh, I like it.
You're going to be honest anyway.
You're going to sabotage him?
If I can.
All right.
Yes.
So, John, you're getting married? Is that what the tabloids are saying?
That is what the tabloids are saying, and they're right.
How about
it's true.
That?
It's
How about
true,
that?
By gosh. And I'm very jazzed. It is Lisa Joyner, who, as you may well have seen her, she's an entertainment reporter around.
Of course. She's lovely.
Yes, and that you know what I hate is that everybody's always surprised. They're always like, oh, she's lovely.
Yeah.
Like, how did he end up with her?
Yeah, they have that questioning tone in their voice, like, really?
Yes, exactly.
How did he do that?
But it's he's like John Cryer, is what they all say.
Thing.
Now, when is that going to happen? When?
That is happening June 16th.
June 16th. Right.
No kidding. Very How exciting. About that? Now, when I first heard that you two were hooked up, obviously I thought it was a mistake. She was a blind date, and she thought you were going to be somebody else. I mean, all that stuff went through my mind. And then I figured, you know, you guys must have been chatting up on the red carpet or something, and there was chemistry. But it turned out it didn't happen at all that way. You guys are like neighbors or something, right? Didn't you meet her on the street?
Yeah, she lived a block away from me. And I saw her out talking with her gardener, and I was like, oh, yeah.
And then the gardener wouldn't go out with you, so then you went hit on her.
Exactly. So I left her a note, and I came up with, like, the lamest excuse to leave my phone number. I was like, if you need some gardening tools.
No, you didn't, though. What did you really put?
It worked.
You really put that?
No, I didn't put that.
Oh, okay.
No, it was something like, hey, I'm your new neighbor. You know, why don't you welcome me naked?
That's how you hit on a woman right there.
Who knew, by the way, that our friend Ducky had game? I mean, seriously, Lisa Joyner's in the neighborhood and he nabs that. That's impressive.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hey, listen, do not underestimate me, people.
No, all right. Not at all.
That's what we've learned.
Well, congratulations on that, man. That is that's fantastic news. And, you know, for all the yucks, we couldn't be happier to see a show like this happen to a nice guy like you, John. We're really happy for the success of Two and a Half Men. You guys, it's going great for you. So Monday night at 9 on CBS is when the show always airs. This is a very special Two and a Half Men, directed by our own John Cryer. So, John, always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, the pleasure was mine.
Thanks, dude. Congratulations to Leonard Camarena from Bellflower. Just got tickets for tonight's Ducks playoff game.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time. Him.
Yeah.
It just can't get any better than that. That's the point on that. Is perfect, just the way it is.
And that was the phrase that pays. And Leonard heard us play it and called in. Was caller 20 and is going to see some playoff hockey.
Yeah, Ducks versus Canucks. Game 2 of round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight at 7 at the Honda Center. So congratulations and go Ducks. So, Psycho Mike got big plans for the weekend, I understand?
Absolutely.
Yeah, going to Coachella.
This is from Craigslist. Hey, boys, so are you a cute, gay, indie rock boy and want to go to the Arctic Monkey Show at the Troubadour? Here's my deal. All my friends are going to Coachella, but I refuse to get crushed by a bunch of RATM bro dudes that are only there for one band. I think I'll be all danced out from Saturday's lineup anyway. Rapture, LCD Sound System, Hot Chip. So I'm heading to the Troub on Sunday to watch this show, and I'll have an extra ticket on me. If you want to go, you can be my plus one. You must be gay. You must be indie rock friendly, but not snobby. And no 420, no PNP, just be a fun drunk. And if there's some consensual man-on-man rape thrown in, then it's all good. $70 covers the cost of the ticket. First two rounds of drink. I'll let you know on Saturday. FYI, it says at the end of the Craigslist, if Psycho Mike from K-Rock reads this, he can be my plus one anytime.
Yep.
So you got big plans.
Nothing new for me, boys. Nothing new for me.
We were able to track down through Craigslist the poster, a guy we've not spoken with before, and he is named Jorge. He's on the line with us right now. Hey, Jorge, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. Now, you wrote this about Psycho Mike, and we don't know you or anything like that. You've never been on the show before? You just are a Psycho Mike fan? Is that what it is?
No, I listen to you guys every morning on my way to work, and I think Psycho Mike's just adorable.
And you've heard a lot from him that makes you think that he would be way gay, right?
Well,
I mean, on a daily basis.
Way gay, but definitely curious.
Curious, huh?
Yeah, there's no question that Mike is wading in. I mean, we can all see that. That's definitely happening. He's already wet.
My wife doesn't compromise my homosexuality at all. No.
Yeah, there's never been a gay guy that's been married before to a woman ever in history.
Listen, I'm not trying to say it's not true. I was just simply asking a question. I'm trying to get your frame of mind, boys.
You spent a whole day, not too long ago, a couple days ago, talking about how you wanted to be gay. If only I could be gay, you said. I would love it. I would so want to be. And I think that's just your way of introducing us to the idea like we don't already know.
If it wasn't for that pesky vagina, I think I would have already just come right out of the closet.
So, Jorge, what kind of reaction are you getting? I mean, this very well-written post, very funny. You're obviously a guy with a sense of humor. You get a lot of people who want to go to Arctic Monkeys with you. Have you gotten a lot of response?
You know what? Surprisingly, I've gotten about 80% pornographic replies. I've gotten...
is that good?
No, I mean, if you go on Craigslist, you can find a lot of body shots of guys. Anyways, I don't need that right now.
Okay. Well, I do. If you could forward that to me, that'd be great. If you could just forward those to me, I'll take care of them.
So, in other words, you put out a serious plea for a fun evening out at a rock show, and you're getting a lot of just pervs right in your back, and that's not what you were advertising for.
Yeah. I mean, if they didn't get my sense of humor off of the post, then I probably don't want to hang out with them anyways, but what I was just looking for was just a good time.
Yeah.
But the PNP was really to scare away kind of the crystal meth crowd.
That's party and play? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Party and play.
So crystal meth and then have sex for 3 days. That's not your deal?
Not usually.
No. Okay. Cool. Would it be with Psycho Mike? Because that's his thing.
Oh, I thought we had a future, Psycho.
Yeah. Well, listen, they're just yanking your crank there, Jorge.
Hey.
I want you to understand that Psycho Mike's 100% poison-free, and I agree with you. I don't need any of that stuff in my life. I saw, though, on your Craigslist posting, Jorge.
Hey, Jorge, before Mike goes on, does it turn you off that a guy refers to himself by third person, like he calls himself Psycho Mike?
No, not at all.
It should. Traits. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you just don't know what it's like to be a heartthrob.
Sometimes he calls himself the Psycho Mike.
That's true.
Or just the Mike.
The Mike. Yeah. I saw that you had a little criteria there on your Craigslist posting, Jorge. And you know, if we're gonna be a couple, I have some criteria as well.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't think Jorge said you were gonna be a couple. By the way, he's just looking for a couple of hours to go see a rock show together. Oh. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, what's your list, Mike?
Okay, ahead, do you smoke, Jorge?
No, I don't.
Don't smoke. I need you to start. And I need you to smoke one of those long, thin cigarettes, maybe with a cigarette holder like Betty Davis. I like that. You have facial hair?
Yeah, I do.
Eureka. I want you to shave that down to like a little pencil thin mustache, like a mariachi guitar player. I like that a lot.
And, do you have an afro?
No.
Okay. And do you own an ascot? I like that a lot. I want you to wear an ascot, but nothing else on top. Just a shirtless with an ascot, so I can just yank you by like a soft, silky ascot. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's set then, Sunday night.
And if you happen to have
Troubadour,
a little too much to drink, and we go home and I knock your boots, I want you to call me Nomar. And I want you to say, yes, Nomar. Yeah, that's a double in the gap, Nomar.
That's an RBI.
Oh, that's a
you
line
just
drive.
Drove
that's
it
a
run.
Line drive, Nomar.
Mike does have some LA Dodgers fantasies, Jorge. Hey, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm surprised that he's even considering his first gay relationship being with anyone other than Nomar Garciaparra. I really thought you were holding out for him.
Jorge sounds like a nice guy. He's my type of dude. He's, you know, not in it to... for the drugs and the partying. He just wants to enjoy the music and have a good time.
So you're going to go with him. Fantastic. You guys have a great time Sunday night? What?
Yeah. Can we dress like Spartans?
Thank you, Jorge.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 31, Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, 3/4 of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line was actually discovered to be in the small seaside town of Pensauken, New Jersey. So, get in line early. Actually, get in line before you have to go. Get in line now. Or glue your poopy hole shut. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Just some tips for you.
I might check with a physician before I actually glued my poopy hole shut. Something about that just doesn't sound safe. I don't know.
I've done it. It's fantastic.
Really?
Oh, all right. Well, if it works, I can't argue with success.
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine in the next hour. We got Chuck Liddell coming up on the program. Right now, though, he's got a new movie out called Next. It's time for Nicolas Cage.
I'm a drunk, and I know you're a hooker. I hope you understand that I'm a person who is totally at ease with this.
A special ops surgeon gave me Kester's face!
You're treasure hunters, aren't you?
We're more like treasure protectors. Treasure protectors. I'm the only one who can walk in both worlds. I'm Ghost Rider.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel like my skull's on fire, but I'm good.
Nicolas Cage, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
What a year you're having in 2007. Even you have to be surprised at how big the Ghost Rider was.
Well, I was very happy with the results of the movie that the public went and they enjoyed themselves at it. I couldn't really predict it. I didn't know how many people were aware of the character or were up for, seeing the adventures of the Ghost Rider, but I was thrilled with the results, absolutely.
Do you try and guess how they're going to do, or have you just given up and just whatever happens, happens?
I really just try to make movies that I find interesting. It's as simple as that. I'm interested in different elements of the human condition, and for example, Next, I thought it was really exciting, this movie, the idea of a character who could see 2 minutes into his own future. I like the possibility of those things, the paranormal, clairvoyance, who knows what can and can't happen, and I've never played anybody like that before, so I was really excited to have this opportunity.
So your character, Chris Johnson, can see 2 minutes into the future.
Specifically 2 minutes. It's as far as he can go, except when it comes to Jessica Biel's character, he can see further. And there are a lot of people like Julianne Moore with the FBI who want to abduct my character to use it to help find a disastrous threat to the city of Los Angeles.
And you spend all of your time trying to picture Jessica Biel, I imagine?
Yes, like many other red-blooded American males.
Don't blame
me. That's what I do. Now, one interview that you did, and who knows if this was a true quote, but it's been reprinted so often, I got to ask, is that you were really interested as a kid in magic. And one of the things that attracted you to this role is you get to finally be a magician. Any truth to that?
I was always interested in magic, but Chris Johnson is using the magic trick as a way of covering up, if you will, the real magic that he does. He's hiding in plain sight. He's using a sort of B-level magic show in Las Vegas to hide the fact that he really can use his mind to see into the future with this gift that he was born with. He's afraid that if people know that about him, he'll be considered a freak, or he'll be abducted by the FBI and basically tortured until they get him to work for them.
He's probably right.
Yeah, well, that's why he's doing this magic show.
You know, Nick, you are famously a superhero fan, like so many of us. And are you a guy who wishes you had superpowers, or are you like your character in this movie, where you think it's really more of a curse than it is a blessing?
I think anything where you're blessed, you're equivalently cursed. I mean, it lends itself to all kinds of resentment or also misunderstanding, or even if a person is blessed with an ability, they would probably be terrified of their own abilities as well.
Dude, if I could see 2 minutes into the future, I could tell if my wife's going to be happy or not after we have sex. That'd be cool.
You could do that. You could absolutely go there.
Way into the future, actually.
Nicolas Cage is on the line. We're talking about Nest, of course, which opens up everywhere today. And right now, you're in the middle of filming the National Treasure sequel as well. That's going to be also for you later this year, right?
That'll be quite a bit later. That's in about 8 months' time in December.
Is it odd to have that much of a lag time from when you work to when it comes out? I guess not for you. You've done a lot of movies, but...
Yeah, well, I live right next door to the... Well, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, what's the address?
Public radio where I live, but I live where John Wayne once lived, and he made 151 movies, and I've only done 50, so I've got a lot of catching up to do.
151?
John Wayne made 151 movies.
Damn.
So, well, the way I see it, I'm behind.
You got to get busy.
That must be why they only told us you had 5 minutes for us, because you got to go make another movie before the next interview, Nick.
Another movie, man. Every other American I know works 50 weeks out of the year with 2 weeks vacation. Why not myself?
You there you go. Exactly. The movie is called Next. It opens up today with Oscar winner Nicolas Cage, along with Julianne Moore, and, of course, the lovely Jessica Biel. Nick, good to catch up with you, man. I hope we do it again soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
You were not just in the other room talking to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, were you, Kevin? You did not go in there and try to break them up.
Tom
you did not
pissed.
Do
That's
that.
That's all I know. Tom looks pissed.
Oh, dear God. Here we go.
He's here. He's in a great mood. Brought his mom. Everything's cool.
Well, don't break them up. It's 7:56. Tom Morello from The Night Watchman and Rage Against the Machine in the 8 o'clock hour. Chuck Liddell in the 9 o'clock hour. Stand by. Right now, it's Friday. Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
Roll down. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
All right, I got 3 minutes to talk about 15 movies.
Wow.
Let's get to it, all right?
Are any of them good?
It looks like some interesting stuff this weekend, some smaller films especially. Believe it or not, there are two movies made about reality television this weekend coming out, and another small film that stars one of my favorite young actresses, Amber Tamblyn.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. You may remember her as the little girl who talked to God in that TV
Joan of Arcadia.
Series called Joan of Arcadia, exactly. And in this movie, Stephanie Daly, she plays a young 16-year-old high school student who was accused of hiding her pregnancy and then killing the child when it was born. A forensic psychologist played by Tilda Swinton has to determine the truth behind the case of the girl who says she had no idea she was pregnant and doesn't remember killing her own child. It's supposed to be pretty rough stuff, but an excellent, excellent small independent film if you want to look that up this weekend. Stephanie Daly, once again, is the name. Then there's another small film. It's a mockumentary about a reality TV show called American Cannibal, where people are stranded on an island and starve to the point where they start to eat one another.
Oh, God.
Mark Burnett involved in this?
No, but he wishes he was. It is a comedy, a dark comedy, obviously, that deals with the state of reality television here in America. That is available also in selected theaters throughout the Southland. Another movie about reality television takes an equally violent turn called The Condemned. Story of a man who is a TV producer, and he gets 10 killers and puts them on an island with a live internet broadcast, and they kill each other off one by one, and the last man standing gets his freedom.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story.
Yeah. A lot of comedies this weekend, huh, Ralph?
Yeah, this one stars Stone Cold Steve Austin, of course, from the legendary wrestling world, and Vinnie Jones also participates. Here's a little scene from The Condemned as we learn about how the game is played.
These contestants were already dead. Each was on death row. After 30 hours, I'll set the last one left alive free.
See? That's how you play.
Okay.
Kind of like Running Man. Remember that with Schwarzenegger?
Oh, yeah.
No. You don't remember Running Man with Schwarzenegger?
What?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. So what?
Dumb.
Dumb. He's right.
Do I have to be dumb to not have watched the movie?
Yes.
All right.
The Invisible also opens this weekend. It's about a young man who is murdered and then becomes invisible.
And
he has to find his own murderers. If he can, uncover his own killers, then he gets to come back to life.
Right, if he can solve his own crime.
Yes, if he solves his own murder, he comes back to life. But the problem is no one can see him or hear him. He's like a ghost.
Yeah.
Except for one chick who can kind of sort of hear him.
Well, can she or can't she?
Sort of. Here's a clip where Nick, played by Justin Chatwin, tries to communicate with Annie, the girl he has a connection with, who can sort of hear him sometimes.
I'm dying, Annie. I don't have much time left, and you're the only one that can save my life. How messed up is that?
Annie! See? She kind of hears him then.
That's, not good acting.
No.
The trailer looks better.
I'm dying, Annie. You're the only one that can save me.
You want some acting? Is that what you want? Acting?
Yes.
All right. How about Jamie Kennedy and Kicking It Old School?
You know how I feel about this guy.
Story of a breakdance champion who goes into a 20-year coma, and when he wakes up in 2007, has to try to compete in a world where hip-hop and gangster rap have replaced the sounds of the 80s.
Yeah.
Here's a scene.
I want a good movie.
Here's a scene where Jamie Kennedy's old girlfriend tells him that he needs to update his look and his dance moves because time has passed him by.
You ever think about updating a bit? His clothes are pretty old school.
I only ever went to one school.
And those moves are whack.
If I went B-Boy right here, I'd have a crowd around me in 2 funky seconds.
Because everyone would want to see our real-life time machine.
Is that a challenge?
No, it's really not a challenge.
Yo, DJ!
I'm DJ?
Give me a beat! What's wrong with that person plastic, man?
See, it's old school. I only went to one school.
Wow! See, I am torn, Ralph, because as much as I hate Jamie Kennedy, that's how much I love his co-star in this movie, Maria Menounos, who I'm just obsessed with. So what do I do?
Well, maybe I can sway you a little bit. This film also features cameos by Emmanuel Lewis, Eric Estrada.
Oh, boy.
And wait for it, David Hasselhoff.
Wow.
Now we're talking cinema.
That might push it into the worst category
now
ever.
Now we're talking major motion picture.
Worst best.
That's really bad.
And lastly, we just talked to the star of Next, Nick Cage, who can see into the future 2 minutes at a time.
There's a movie called Next, Nick Cage?
Oh, Gilligan.
Try to keep up, Kevin.
Sorry. Next also stars Julianne Moore as the young lady who would like to use his powers because we know the future's no good and he's the only one who can stop it.
Who else is it star, Ralph?
Also stars Jessica Biel.
Thank you.
Splatter!
Did you say splatter?
You can't shout the word splatter.
It's not a comic book.
There's a word. You
can't put just sound things across the frame.
What the hell?
Here's Julianne Moore telling Nicolas Cage that she needs his help. His ability to look into the future to find a nuclear bomb.
I know I seem like the bad guy in all this, but in the interests of preserving our freedom, there are larger issues at play. There is a nuclear bomb somewhere in Los Angeles, and every television station in the world will broadcast the precise details of its detonation. So go on, push that 2 minutes as far as you can, and find it.
More of a nuclear bomb protector. That's what it says after that.
Cut that part out.
Of all the movies this weekend, this is the one I think looks like the most fun. I mean, it's obviously a no-brainer. It's an action film. It's a popcorn movie. But I think Nick Cage does those really well. And I'm looking forward to checking out Next this weekend. That's my pick.
All right.
And if you can still find it, I still want to highly recommend the TV set starring David Duchovny.
Haven't seen that yet.
You can find that in small theaters throughout the Southland. And also Disturbia as well is an excellent film you can check out.
And I want to jump on and agree with Ralph and Lisa on the hoax being a good time at the movie, too.
Really
very,
good.
Very, very good film. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, we're out of time, Tom. Thanks for stopping by.
Jeez.
Everybody is excited about Coachella this weekend because of the reunion of Crowded House.
That's very good news, but I think we're here to discuss Rage Against the Machine getting back together.
Right, that's right.
Sunday night, 10:40, they take the stage to cap off a 3-day Coachella festival happening this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, our pal Tom Morello back in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock, who's having a tremendously large week with the release of his solo debut under the guise of the Night Watchman.
That's
correct. Also play something from and talk about here in just a few minutes. Tom, how you doing, man?
I'm
this
doing
is a big weekend
well.
For you.
Yes, it is. How are you both? What's going on?
Very good.
How
thank
are all
you.
Of you?
We're good. Thanks.
We've been dying to talk to you ever since we had Paul Tillett in all those months ago to announce that you were headlining Night 3, and this is our first opportunity to find out what up.
Well, it's occurring.
It is occurring.
It's occurring, yes.
I guess the biggest question is, it's not a one-off, is it? I mean, is it? Everybody must be asking you that and driving you crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, there's 4 Rage shows booked. There's these shows and the Rock the Bell shows with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Right.
And, you know, we're leaving the door open to playing some more shows this summer, but it's a small spate of shows right now.
Okay.
7 years it's been since you closed it down at the Grand Olympic Auditorium?
That's correct.
Seven years. Have you played together since then? Has there been any kind of rehearsal for this weekend?
Well, I mean, actually, a couple weekends ago, Zach and I played together in Chicago at the House of Blues for a union benefit concert acoustically.
But you were doing Night Watchman stuff, weren't you?
I did Night Watchman, 3 Night Watchman songs, and then we did acoustified versions of 4 Rage songs as well.
Acoustified?
Cool. Yeah.
So when you guys take the stage, you know, with Brad and Timmy and you guys, it'll be first time in 7 years.
That's
you
correct. That's correct. We've been rehearsing.
Okay,
been, of course. I'm sorry.
You have been rehearsing. Okay.
Yeah. We just hope everybody.
Because I was just going to tell people it's going to blow. Turn around and go home.
No. We've been rehearsing. We've been rehearsing now for a while. It sounds pretty ferocious.
It comes back quite naturally. I imagine.
Yeah, it's very much like riding bikes. Very exciting.
How did it happen? Tom, I mean, how can you sum up for us what how you got from 2000 to 2007 with Rage?
Well, I mean, it was about you know 7 or 8 months ago where it was clear we weren't going to be doing any Audioslave touring, you know, and I think that was a time for all of us to just reassess our priorities. And for me, I just you know, I just wanted to do music that's, you know, had my worldview, you know, at the forefront of it. And that's when I decided to do this Night Watchman record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was devoting all my time to that. At the same time, you know, Tim and Zach had had developed a friendship again. They were surfing and having a good time. And we just, you know, we all got together and, you know, it was like, you know, wounds had healed and we wanted to rock the show. And it was a time. I think, you know, it's in the 7 years that Rage Against the Machine was away, you know, the country slid into a right-wing abyss, and now, and I think on one night at the Empire Polo Field, we're going to turn it around.
You're going to make it all right.
That's right. That's right.
So it was kind of like an ugly divorce, but then a few years goes by, and you run into your ex-wife downtown. You go, you know what? She actually is pretty cool. She's actually all right. It's that kind of deal.
I don't know that that's an exact.
that's a one-for-one
analogy, but it's been really exciting, and it's great to, you know, to be with those guys and to play those songs, and it's, you know, it really was like riding a bike musically. You know.
Now I heard that you were at South by Southwest as the Night Watchman.
Yeah.
And you did a show with a bunch of people that came on stage with Slash and how many different people came on stage?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been going on
for Claypool.
Les Claypool, Slash, Wayne Kramer from the MC5, Perry Farrell, and Nuno Betancourt from Satellite Party. And it's, you know, that's an extension of, I've been doing these shows at the Hotel Cafe here in Los Angeles. You know, every Tuesday night for about 4 in a row, then take a couple months off. And it was really an extension of that. And, you know, it's the idea of people getting together to make music for the right reasons. All the artists donate their time. All the proceeds go towards charitable causes. Helping the homeless was the particular one for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get together an hour before. We rehearse some songs, and everybody plays an individual set. Then we get together and rock it like crazy. It's been really fun.
I heard that you did a cover of Guerrilla Radio.
Well, that during my Night Watchman set, sometimes I'll do an acoustified version of Guerrilla Radio. Yeah,
I'd love to hear that.
Well, I mean, everyone always used to think that the guitar solo in that song was a harmonica.
Right.
So when I do the acoustic version, it actually is a harmonica.
You've been very careful to put on all of the CDs. All sounds are, there's no sampling. It's all made by a guitar.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the sort of the refreshing changes to do the acoustic stuff is that there's, you know, one, there's nothing to hide behind. You know,
right.
There's no like big rock band to hide behind. And that's, you know, for me, it's been really exciting to, you know, to try something completely different. I've been playing these songs, these Night Watchman songs, for about 5 years now, but it started literally playing coffee houses in the San Fernando Valley.
Right.
You know, I would come off tour with Audioslave, we'd be playing these arenas, and I would literally play for 8 people in a latte machine at, you know, the, the hot brew, you know, in Granada Hills or whatever.
Now, did the people at the hot brew know who you were?
No, I would sign up as the Night Watchman.
Right.
I'd sign up anonymously and get up there and, you know, play my songs. And every once in a while, somebody would go like, is that Tom Morello? Couldn't be.
Couldn't be. And you say no.
Even when I was on tour with Audioslave, on nights off, I'd look in the local paper and find, you know, I'd go to country and western bars or anarchist bicycle shops or anywhere they would have me, you know. And even in those, that was probably about four years ago. But, you know, even in those early days, I was having as much fun doing that, and it felt like that music mattered as much to me as anything I had done before, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Why did it take this long to make the CD then?
Yeah, well, I mean, for four or five years, it really was a side project, and it was a way to kind of balance the, you know, because I have the Axis of Justice organization with Serge Tankian, which does, you know, organizational and charitable work, and then the big arena rock band with Audioslave, and for me, something was missing, you know, and so it was a side project, and then it was about 7 or 8 months ago when, you know, Brendan O'Brien got a hold of some of the Night Watchman demos and
produced one of your producers, Rage,
yeah, who produced Rage and Audioslave, and he called me up and said, let's make a record. So I went down to Atlanta and we made it.
Fantastic.
This is Tom Morello in the studio you're listening to. Of course, he's playing twice at Coachella this weekend. Saturday, you're in the 5 o'clock hour in the Gobi tent. I guess you're going to be in the Night Watchman performance.
And
you're going to be signing autographs after that in the Virgin tent. And then, of course, Rage is Sunday night. Let me ask you this, Tom, before we take a break. We are going to hear from the Night Watchman CD coming up next. And later in the hour, we'll include your phone calls, too. You have such a much wider audience with Audioslave or Rage Against the Machine. Do you worry that the message that you're trying to get out through the Night Watchman songs will not reach as many people and therefore be less effective than you hope?
Yeah, I'm not worried about
it. Just because of the format of the music, because a lot of people just don't listen to folk music.
Right. I mean, I don't really worry about that at all. I mean, every time I've been involved with, you know, a musical project that I believed in, whether it was Rage or whether it was Audioslave or with the Night Watchman stuff, there's been no... you know, sort of commercial concern at the core of it. It's just making, you know, the thing that those three, you know, things have in common is it's music that both musically, you know, and for me, lyrically is made in a completely uncompromising way. And right. sometimes it's managed to find an audience. And, you know, and the thing is, like when you, Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine are, you know, are built for to play polo fields,
right,
you know,
sure.
you know, and to make mosh pits.
Right.
Night Watchman stuff is to make a mosh pit in your mind, you know. And
I'm gonna have to think about that one.
And well, I mean, it's if the audience is, you know, if we sell lots of, you know, big stadium band records, it's one thing. But with this, it's like it's looking for, you know, it is in a way preaching to the converted, but the converted need a kick in the ass. Frankly.
So kind of a more personal,
quite frankly,
one-on-one
yeah,
type thing. Yeah.
All
right,
yeah.
Fantastic.
The Night Watchman is the name of the act and the name of the name you'll find on the CD. One Man Revolution is what it's called. And I think, Tom, if it's all right with you, I think that's the song we're going to play when we come back. Is that cool?
Fantastic.
Play One Man Revolution. Tom Morello is here. We'll take your calls later in the hour, too. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We'll be right back after this.
I'd say that's true. The Night Watchman, Tom Morello, One Man Revolution. That's the name of the CD, actually. It came out this past Tuesday,
that's correct.
Okay, fantastic. Correct. And you're going to be playing Coachella as well on Saturday.
That's
at the
right.
Gobi Tent. Are you going to have any of your guests come on stage?
No, tonight? I think there's enough,
enough of that there.
Bands playing at Coachella.
Yeah. Are you going to bring up your mom? I know she's coming
Well,
with you.
Mom will certainly be represented. She Excellent. May, you know, she may make it to the mic.
Mosh pit?
She may not make it to the mosh pit.
Okay.
There's always a mosh pit in my mom's mind. So,
hey, speaking of your mom, and Tom's mom is here with him this morning visiting from Chicago. When you were a young man and obviously a bright young man and got accepted into Harvard and made your mom so happy, as all moms would be, and then you graduated and then you went on to work into politics, she must have really had such high hopes for what her young man, Tom Rowe, was going to grow up to be. At what point did you break her heart? At what point did she say, what?
Mom is
rock
been,
band?
Mom
what?
Has always been like amazingly supportive of whatever crazy notion I had. Now, I don't know whether she was scheming, you know, to get that Mercedes quicker this way than by going the nonprofit route and actually using my degree.
Did find
a way to somehow, you know, meld the degree. But she's been very supportive. I mean, I was the only black kid in an all-white town growing up. Then I was, like, the only anarchist in a conservative high school. Then
right.
I was the only rock and roll guitar player at Harvard University. And then I was the only Harvard grad in an underground Hollywood rock and roll band. Through all of it, Mary Morell has been very supportive.
You must have gotten your ass kicked everywhere you went.
It's been a one-man revolution for a long time.
I read that you played the, what did you play in high school? What instrument did you play in high school?
I played guitar.
There was something else they were saying in the band, like a flugelhorn or something.
French horn is like a nine-year-old in the school.
Oh, nine-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I also read that when you were at college at Harvard, you practiced your guitar.
Yeah.
8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Every day.
During the course of the 4 years there were some times where it was like 4 hours a day, sometimes six, but it was like literally maybe during 4 years of college and in the summertime, there might have been one or two days that I didn't practice, you know, at
wow.
least 4 hours a day, no matter what. Like if I had a fever of 102 and an exam at 8 a.m, I did, you know, finished studying at 1, I would practice till, you know, dot, whatever it was, without fail. Yeah.
I don't recommend that, by the way.
That's not bragging. It's obsessive compulsive behavior that feels bad in your soul, okay?
I don't play that often, but I can still kick ass on Guitar Hero on your song.
See, that's why I refuse to play Guitar Hero, because everybody can beat me on my own songs at Guitar Hero.
Those giant plastic
fret things. We bought it like the night before Thanksgiving. Had a bunch of people over at my house for Thanksgiving, and there's like this 11-year-old kid that just loves that on Cochise he's so much better than me. You know,
and you're the guy that did it originally.
Nobody can unseat the kid. Like, he's on it all night because he's like,
Tom, get on there and kick him off. Yeah. I can't.
And that's funny. That's funny for everybody in the room except me.
For you, right.
Yeah.
How much do you practice now, Tom?
No, I mean, it's actually been a while since I've had that kind of I started playing guitar late. I started playing when I was like 17 years old. So I always felt that I was behind, you know, all my guitar heroes. So that's where the obsession kind of kicked in. And then it was really around the beginning of Rage Against the Machine where I started to find my own voice on the instrument. And the stuff, it had to do much more with kind of imagination and the big picture and creativity than it did with technique. You know,
right.
And I kind of amassed that technique prior to that, you know.
Let me ask you this, and we're going to take a break and include your phone calls in our discussion with Tom Morello, 1-800-520-1067. In the 7 years since Rage Against the Machine last played, and again, of course, you're getting back together for Coachella this Sunday, have you been, has it upset you how much people miss the band and how much people still are begging you to get back together? I bet everywhere you go, that's been the question that you've been most asked in the last 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, no one hasn't upset
me. Is it annoying at all?
No. I mean, that band, you know, has meant a lot to a lot of people, you know, and No, so it hasn't upset me at all. I mean, it's when those songs come on the radio, I turn them up too. You know, it's,
but every day you're walking down the street, somebody's holding onto your leg. Please, please.
Well, I mean,
I liked Audioslave as much as the next guy.
Yeah,
but
it
also seemed like it was a little. The three of you were a little bit wasted compared to Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, I mean, I know the power of that band more than anybody, you know? And that's one of the reasons why it's so exciting to be doing this.
In 2014, will there be an Audioslave reunion at Coachella?
that's hard to say.
Maybe too early to ask that question, perhaps.
Tom Morello, again, the Night Watchman is 5:05 on tomorrow, Saturday, at the Gobi Tent at the Coachella. And then, of course, Rage Against the Machine closing out Sunday night about 10:40 on the main stage. And we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067 when we get
Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 8, Hydration. Remember, the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival is a metaphoric marathon, not a metaphoric sprint. And as in any metaphoric marathon, it's important to stay hydrated, metaphorically. Drink lots of fluids before you arrive at the event. But don't worry, water will also be sold on site. And loan officers will be on hand to help you finance your water purchase. You may find it a more efficient fluid-to-fund ratio to drink beer. And after two beers, when you've run out of money, you can always drink your own urine. Your own urine, you freaks. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Well, that's good advice if you're heading out to Coachella this weekend. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and solo as the Night Watchman is playing Saturday and Sunday. Night Watchman show is going to be in the 5:00 hour on Saturday. And you're in a tent, so you won't be out in the 150-degree weather when you're playing, right, Tom?
Though the tent is called the Gobi Tent. It's named after the Gobi Desert, so I'm not sure if that's a good sign. Yeah.
Dude, I got to tell you, if you're at Coachella and it's 110 degrees, you go in a tent and it's worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal with all the body heat.
Of course, you'll still enjoy the music of the Night Watchman.
That's what will draw you in.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying it's a positive.
Yeah, I'm looking at it like it's kind of like a sweat lodge. Together we reach a higher state of consciousness.
So you can reach a higher state of consciousness and lose weight
in
the
Gobi tent. Yeah.
Sure.
Fantastic.
And by the way, Sunday night, thanks to you guys going on at freaking 11:00 at night, our station just going to be closed. No one's coming in on Monday. And I suspect productivity will be down all over Southern California on Monday, thanks to you.
I can tell you right now, not to count on me. I can tell you that.
Oh, we know. Couldn't
play on Saturday, could you, Morello? Couldn't do that for us, could you?
No, I don't even have to talk to the organizers of the events about that. I don't know.
All right, let's take a few phone calls. Please, no dumb questions for our friend Tom. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Sarah in Los Angeles. This is probably another one of those questions, Tom, that people ask all the time, but I think it's worth revisiting on the air. Hey, sure. Sarah, you're on with Tom Morello. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to ask Tom Morello if he ever thinks about running for office or anything like that, anything going into politics, because, I mean, we truly have assholes running in this country and everything, so...
Well, what about that? Could you be effective in that way?
Well, I for 2 years I worked as the scheduling secretary for a U.S. Senator Alan Cranston from California, and getting to sort of see that the machinery of electoral politics up close. Even though Senator Cranston had a lot of very progressive ideas, he spent most of his time calling up rich guys and asking them for money.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's what it's all about. You know, like you have to now raise hundreds of millions of dollars to mount a presidential campaign, and you know, only slightly less than that to be in Congress. And to me, it's just like there's too much pee in that pool. You know, I think that when real change happens, it doesn't happen because you get the right person in office to sort of wave a magic wand. It's because people whose names you may not read about in textbooks, you know, organize for a better world. You know, like if you take from women getting the right to vote to desegregating lunch counters, you know, in the South, to the fall of the Berlin Wall, to the end of apartheid, those things happen not because the right person was in office, but because people, you know, organized and stood up for their rights where they live and where they work and where they go to school.
You also couldn't wear your CBGB t-shirt. You couldn't wear that.
That's correct.
And that wouldn't work, I don't think.
That's correct.
Hey, do you get much backlash, Tom, as being an outspoken liberal from people who hate you because you believe the way you do?
I wouldn't categorize myself as a liberal. That's, you know, liberal is far to the right of my opinions, frankly. So
much too conservative for you.
I'll take that as a bit of an insult. But liberals are just like sort of, you know, wishy-washy, you know, but I consider myself a radical because I think that, radicals, you know, make change. Liberals sort of,
but you know, there are people out there who want to move to France with Johnny Depp just because you're speaking out against the administration. I mean, I'm sure you run into those people all the time.
Yeah. I mean, they had the same opinion of people who wanted to desegregate lunch counters and women have the right to vote as well. Right. You know, when those things seem like radical ideas too. So that's totally all right.
So it's okay to have those enemies.
Absolutely. If everybody agrees with what you say, and if the world is ordered like it is and this country is ordered like it is and everybody is totally cool with what you're saying, then one, you're wasting your First Amendment rights, and two, then you're maybe not speaking out enough.
What about Dewey in Malibu on K-Rock? Kevin and Bean here with Tom Morello. Hi, Dewey, go ahead.
Hey, Tom, what's up? It's Dewey from your old band, Them Generation.
Hey, Dewey, I had a suspicion that might be you. Dewey, I was in a band prior to Rage Against the Machine called Them Generation, a curiously titled band, and Dewey on the phone, it was the singer of that band.
No kidding.
What's going on, Dewey?
That's right. Tom would never allow me to play guitar, even though I was almost a guitarist. I just wanted to know, your mother used to give you instructions on how to make scrambled eggs when you first moved to California.
Yes.
I remember finding on top of your amp the instructions that said, put butter in pan, melt butter, crack egg. And these instructions were from your mom.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you ever kind of memorized how to make the egg.
I'll
tell you a couple things. One is that a Harvard education is wasted because I didn't know how to make scrambled eggs. I have an Ivy League degree. Two is Dewey has quite a memory. Yeah, and three is I did finally master, after having to bring the scrambled eggs instructions to rehearsal to refresh my memory, I did finally get to. Dewey, that's crazy. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's good to talk. The other thing is you always refused to wear makeup when we were dressed as hookers.
That's correct.
It was like New York dollish looking guys. Tom was always the guy who took the high road and decided just to wear a cowboy hat. Which made us really bad because we looked like a bunch of middle-aged transvestites.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, with one black cowboy in the band.
You were the guy from the Village People. Yeah.
Hey, Dewey, why did you wear a cowboy hat?
Dewey has a better memory about this than I do. I'm sure I'm not denying that I wore the cowboy hat.
Dewey, please send us over some photos if you've got them, all right? We have to see that. That sounds outstanding.
No, they're very good. They're in history. I also understand that Tom has made a deal with the people selling water at the concert that he gets like 10 cents of every bottle of water.
Okay.
Dewey's now he's going to stand up, Chuck, yeah. All right, let's take one more from Eva in Hacienda Heights.
I was going to recommend number six there, but that's
fine. We can do six.
We can do six also.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay. Do number six.
Guess getting uppity, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can see the computer screen. I want a nice softball after Dewey. Can I please have a softball?
Is it true you're getting money on the water? After Dewey put the 60-minute spotlight on you.
Chris at Data Point, good morning.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, Chris. What's going on?
Good. Hey, at first I want to thank you just for revolutionizing how tone shaping happens in guitars. So that's first off. But second, I just want to know, who are some of your guitar heroes? Who are some of the guys that you looked at that helped you get the way you are?
Yeah, well, I have like sort of two different sets of guitar heroes. I mean, there were like the guitar heroes, you know, that I had posters up of growing up, and they were Jimmy Page and, you know, and Ace Frehley, and then Randy Rhoads, kind of like the heavy metal dudes, and then later Joe Strummer. Probably my favorite guitar player of all time is a fellow named Joe Hill, and there are no recorded works of Joe Hill. He was an early 20th century labor organizer, kind of the poet laureate of the working class, and he was executed and he was framed for a murder in Utah and was executed in like 1919. And he's like sort of a poet laureate and martyr of the labor working class. But Joe Hill said, like, you can, if you read a book once or you read a pamphlet once, but a song you sing over and over again.
Right.
So his music was about sort of like organizing and solidarity, and he's been one of my biggest influences, certainly in doing the Night Watchman.
Did you hear his music?
No, I just read about, you know, read the story, and his lyrics are still reprinted, and those songs are sung, but at the time there was no recording.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. Thank you, Chris.
Chris wasn't expecting a guitar hero who you've never heard before. That was a little bit of a surprise answer.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting to be asked about scrambled eggs and cowboy hats.
No, so that's true.
We're totally
all right.
even.
Although I think Dewey was making some stuff up there.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Let's close with Eva now from Hacienda Heights on with Tom Morello from Rage and the Night Watchman. Coachella is this weekend. What's up, Eva?
Good morning. Hi, Kevin and Dean.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what's going on?
Gosh, what you guys go on so late on Sunday, it's at 10:40. The set starts at 10:40. What kind of set do we expect as far as, you know, coming back and after 7 years, how do you determine what songs you're going to play and what kind of expectations do you have?
Well, I mean, I think there's like 200 bands playing at Coachella, and we're the 200th band playing at Coachella.
So everybody will be fresh.
I think you got to rock pretty hard. You know what I mean? I don't think you open with, you know, a long poem and a jazz odyssey.
Right.
I think you
got
to kind of bring it early and bring it
You're
off.
You're coming with the fire?
That's it's rumored.
Fantastic.
It's
rumored. All right.
How long is the set going to be on Sunday night, Tom?
I think it's a full rock set there for you.
Fantastic.
Full
Dude.
Rock set. Yeah.
Can you please not stop ever? Just don't stop. Keep playing right through our morning show on Monday. Please.
All right, so that's a Sunday.
No, I'm serious, please.
Then you got the three Rock the Bells shows.
That's right.
And
that's
if
right.
it's all still good and all still fun at that point, then maybe you'll see what's next.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a great time, you know, playing these songs together now. But, you know, let's try to, you know, I'm trying to remember the notes to bomb track, okay? Let's see.
I understand. All right, let me recap. See the Night Watchman in the Gobi tent at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon out at Coachella. And, of course, the CD is out or available for download right now called One Man Revolution. You definitely ought to check it out. And also Rage Against the Machine, 10:40 Sunday night. Tom, you know we love catching up with you, man.
It is always a pleasure.
In.
Thanks for having me.
And your mom's kind of a hottie, too, by the way. That was a bonus today.
What's wrong with you? For God's sake. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks very much.
Just saying, I feel like a little scratch in my throat. I got kind of a headache.
You look like
crap, if that helps. My stomach, very
Kevin,
upset.
Kevin,
I don't see myself making it on Monday.
It's me Friday neither. Now. How do you know you're sick on Monday already?
I feel a good 4-dayer coming on.
I plan to make out with Kevin all weekend, so I'll probably catch it, whatever he's got.
It's 9:01 at KRQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. What about Chuck Liddell coming up next hour? What about that? And more good stuff.
It's good.
Nice momentum.
We're happy.
Exactly.
Right now, Ralph's got the final showbiz beat of the week. Ralph, what's going on?
This broad, Marcia Diana Valentine, 45 years old of Huntington Beach, huge Sandra Bullock fan. Such a big fan, in fact, that she often is found laying out in front of their garage door there at their house.
Brilliant.
Often hanging out on the property.
Not standing, laying down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not invited so much to come to the house, but it shows up there quite a bit.
Mm. Okay.
So Sandra Bullock's husband, the host of Monster Garage, Jesse James, asked Ms. Valentine to please leave their home on Sunday. She didn't take it well. She jumped in her car, put it in reverse, and accelerated in his direction 3 or 4 times.
Oh. Are you kidding?
Yeah. God.
Trying to hit him with her silver Mercedes.
Wow.
Jesse James, being the sensitive type, took offense to that.
Good.
Called the police, and by the time they got there, she was gone. But they did finally pick her up and charge her with assault with a deadly weapon.
Jesse James is another one of those sensitive celebrities who wants exceptions to all the rules.
Yeah. Oh, like, don't run me over. What about me?
Oh, I'm special.
Oh, trying to hit me with your silver Mercedes. So it's all about me.
Seems like he's a pretty cool guy with that thing. She was trying to kill him, for God's sakes.
Yeah. She was released after posting $25,000 bail. This broad's got 25 G's. She's driving around in a silver Mercedes. What's she doing spending all her time watching Lake House or whatever the hell drove her over the top with Sandra Bullock? Get a life.
It's a really good question.
Get your real estate license. Do something with your time.
Oh, now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
I don't want anyone to like me that much.
Nobody does.
No danger of that.
Nobody does.
Shut up.
No, I don't mean you. I mean nobody wants to be like that much.
Don't
That's crazy.
Sleep in front of my garage if you like my work. That's what I would say if I was Sandra Bullock.
I'm surprised you didn't run her over.
Sleep in your own home.
Listen to me, okay? And please, believe what I'm saying. I truly don't like you as a person.
Okay. Yeah, didn't take. Bobby Boris Pickett, the man who gave us the Monster Mash, is dead.
Apparently, he died Wednesday night of leukemia at the age of 69 years old. Bobby was, of course, the man who created the classic Halloween smash hit, number one record, by the way.
Yeah.
Went to number one in 1962, and then it returned to the charts in 1970 and 1973.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a classic.
Yeah. Then, of course...
I don't know anyone who doesn't know that song.
No, of course.
Yeah.
I was working in the lab late one night. That's the song I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then,
Monster Mash, Kevin. You know what we're talking about?
I know Monster Mash, of course.
Well, the guy who sang it died is what Ralph is trying to tell
us. He did that song 500 years ago.
He was in Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you seen that?
No.
Anyway, he used his powers for good a couple years ago when he decided to remake the Monster Mash and address the global warming situation with a song called The Climate Mash.
Yeah.
Don't have that?
I do.
We'd like to hear some of that now.
We were hiking past the White House late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. The president appeared with folks very strange. The zombies and vampires of global climate change. It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies, let the president rest behind his own protective levees.
See?
They're doing the climate mash.
The climate mash.
Real science is bad.
Climate mash.
Solutions are trash.
Solutions are trashed.
And they do it for the cash.
The you tell him, Bobby.
Wow. Okay.
Bobby Barr's picket more of a radical than Tom Morello. Because he's saying what needs to be said. Had he Tom Morello doesn't speak up, doesn't speak his mind. Bobby Barr's picket says it the way it is, man.
Had he not done that song, we would still have a problem with climate change.
Al Gore was
don't.
Inspired by Bobby Barr's picket to get into this whole global change thing.
Wow.
That's where it all started.
Impressive.
As far as you know. Britney Spears is writing a tell-all book, according to Star Magazine, an autobiography spilling plenty of details about her famous exes. In fact, according to Star Magazine, she plans to tell the world that it was her relationship with Justin Timberlake that caused her to turn to drugs and alcohol.
Has anyone ever pointed fingers more in their lives than her?
Oh, my manager put me in rehab. I didn't need it. Oh,
my dad
can't take my love. Justin made me drink.
What the hell? Nothing's her fault.
She couldn't trust Justin, and that's why her self-esteem got destroyed, and that's why she turned to drug and alcohol. Kevin Federline also, according to this article, will be mentioned in the book as a womanizing, wild-spending, verbally abusive man who deliberately tried to drive her crazy at the end of their marriage. By releasing that CD.
He's not.
Yeah, trying to drive us all crazy.
Made us all a little nutty when we heard that.
We got all to him for that.
I think you're right. And lastly, in comic book movie news, 20th Century Fox has announced they are picking up their option to do a spinoff from the X-Men based around the supervillain Magneto. Ian McKellen's character played the character in the films. This will follow a young Magneto as he develops his ability to manipulate metal objects while he's in a World War II concentration camp, and then he uses his power to hunt down Nazis after the war. It's going to be like Saving Private Magneto. I'm very excited.
I hope they get Jake Lloyd to play the young Magneto.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Who's that, to get in Star Wars?
Yeah. Play young Anakin Skywalker.
He should play the young everybody.
By the way, Hugh Jackman's character, Wolverine, also a spinoff solo adventure for Hugh Jackman in the works as well. So we'll get to see his early years as well. Check that out. Today's celebrity birthday, Sheena Easton, who we all agree at one time was the hottest piece of acid pop music.
She was a sexy little tart.
She sure was.
Scottish, too, right, Ralph?
Yeah. Oh, you know those Scots.
Yep.
I don't know what that means, but
I don't either.
She's got sugar walls. I know that much.
Oh, yeah.
The name of one of her songs.
North Shore?
Fantastic.
Sugar wall.
Yep.
North Shore?
Yes. Orange?
No, Dave, not orange. Ace Frehley from Kiss is 56 years old today. Gene, you have a birthday wish for your bandmate, Ace Frehley?
Yes, really. I wish him a happy birthday. And,
yeah, it's Gene Simmons' birthday.
Made Ace Frehley cake. And when he's eating the cake, first he must blow out his candles.
Right.
Speaking of blowing things.
No.
Okay. All right, Gene. That's
not even trying anymore.
No.
And Casey Kasem, the man who for many years gave us America's Top 40, and was also the voice of Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Kevin. Zoinks! Like a Scooby snack scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can break that out once a year.
Good times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rock 106.7 KROQ at 15.
Hey, it's Friday.
And I'm Rodney, you're Friday.
Rodney?
Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here.
Right.
Winding down another week of great flashback.
No.
Oh, that's Richard's show. Yeah. What am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
No, that's crazy.
There's no flashback, there's no Richard, and there's no Rodney. That's not you at all. It's 9:15 on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us in the studio.
What up?
Have we done a final accounting on the 90 credits that he owes you on your basketball bet, Kevin? Have we counted up the cash yet?
We have not. No. Dave's been earning money all week because we bet on the Clippers-Lakers. And, by the way, Lakers last night. Did you see that game?
Yeah, Suns are bored.
Yeah, sure. So anyway,
the Suns are just toying with the Lakers and intended to lose
bored.
Just to make it interesting.
Yeah. Dave's known about this bet since the beginning of the basketball season, which was late last year, and he knows that there's 90 credits total on the line, and came in Monday with nothing, not a penny to pay us.
Nope. I spent it all. What do you want from me?
Now, according to the code of ethics of gamblers, I have to break his legs, and I really don't want to do that because I kind of like Dave.
Cool, and I appreciate that.
But I have to, unless he comes up with the 90. Credits. So he's been going out all week making money. He was out chasing gophers. He was cleaning bongs. He was cutting up a hot tub. He was doing all kinds of stuff. Today he was washing cars.
Yep.
Or should I say car?
I washed a couple.
What's the total amount that you have, Dave? Are you ready to pay me the 90 credits, or am I forced to break your legs?
After a couple of car washes and everything this week, I have $89 credits. 89.
Because they couldn't be real dollars because that would be illegal and wrong to wager.
Exactly.
Right?
Rob, you'd wrong.
But is 89 90?
No, I am short one credit.
It's just one, Kevin.
Yeah, it's just one, Kevin.
It's just one credit.
It's not me. It's the code of ethics.
No. Isn't there any sort of thing in the code like a credit?
No, it's bigger picture. It's about gambling as a whole, not just me and Dave.
Because if you let one guy skate for a dollar, then why can't the next guy skate for two or five or ten? And the next thing you know, what you wager doesn't mean anything
anymore.
All
of sports gambling goes right down into the crapper.
and
just because of me.
I'm not a welcher. I'm not a welcher on bets, and I want to pay off my bet. So I have this proposition for you.
At some point in the future?
I have this proposition for you, Kevin. Right. Here in my hand, I have a piece of yak meat.
What?
Gross.
It looks like a little silver packet.
Yeah, it says yak meat pie. It's from China.
Ew, it's pie.
My brother's boss just brought this home from China, and he gave it to my brother, and I heard it's the most vile thing ever.
Oh, you'll eat it?
I'll eat this for the final dollar.
Done. What the hell is yak meat pie?
Oh, God. Does anything sound worse?
This looks like it's about the size let's find out.
This looks like it's about the size of a quarter. It's not a pie. I don't know what thing.
It's a nugget.
What's yak, Bean? Is that like a...
It's a big, roaming animal. It looks kind of like a hairy buffalo, I guess.
A hairy buffalo. Or something. By the way, hairy buffalo opening for Coachella.
A yak.
That's what I understand.
A yak is what flipped over Johnny Knoxville in Jackass 2.
Oh, fantastic. There you go.
A yak is a nappy-haired buffalo.
Hey, easy.
That's what it is.
All right, so you have a little plastic packet.
Yeah,
it looks
kind of
like a ketchup packet, but it has yak meat in it.
Yak meat pie, it says, and then it says stuff in Chinese that I can't read.
You can't speak Chinese?
It says, not to be ingested by humans, is what it says.
Now, did you say your brother tried it and it blows?
It blows. It has, I guess, this yellow ooze in it.
Okay, I'll substitute that for less dollar.
So you're cool with this?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go, dude. Yak meat.
Opening the yak meat.
Some sort of yak gravy.
Oh,
ew,
oh my God.
That is disgusting. Drop it on my stuff.
It's ugly, meaty looking substance. Don't smell it. Put it in your mouth.
All right, ready?
And you have to swallow it.
All right, ready?
That's what she said. Okay.
God.
Swallow.
God. No, you have to.
No reversals. No reversals.
No reversals.
You don't
need it. It doesn't
count.
Eat it.
I'm going to break your legs, mother effer. Swallow. No reversal.
Yum, 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 yum.
You guys, it stinks.
No reversal.
Wow,
no reversal.
Oh, jeez.
Taking a sip of Coke to try to wash it down.
Guys, how bad can it be if a billion Chinese eat it every day? Come on.
Well, if you're not used to it.
Yeah, people eat monkey brains, too, Bean.
If you're not used to it, it can be terrible.
Yes.
What if it's the best tasting thing in the world and Dave is just acting?
It smells.
I'm standing right next to it, and it smells like crap.
Okay, good. All right.
I just threw up.
Excellent. Well, then I'll take your $89.
So here's my $89.
And your sickness as full
payment.
Don't
you wish you'd washed one more car, Dave?
Oh, my God. Stupid intern. Give me that.
As you know, it is Man Crush Friday. Psycho Mike insists we have one of his fantasy guys on the phone every Friday. Today, poor Chuck Liddell. He drew the short straw.
of course, from the UFC and this Sunday's Entourage. Chuck, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, man?
How you doing, bro?
Very good, thank you. Hey, it's great to talk to you. We were so excited when we were watching Entourage last Sunday night on HBO, as we always do, when we saw the trailer for this weekend's show. You're on Entourage, man. How cool is that?
Oh, man, it's like my favorite show, so I was excited when I got a chance to be on it. So
you watched it before they came to you and asked you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually went to Dana and was like, hey, man, can you get someone to get me on that show?
Oh, no kidding. That's cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to do like a walkthrough or something, but they actually put me in the thing.
Yeah, you play yourself, cool. Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And when did you shoot this? And are you on it more than just this Sunday's episode?
Just this Sunday, but I shot it in August.
Shot in August.
Oh,
okay. Wow. Okay. So you're just this Sunday, and you threaten to kill who? Is it Vince? Is it all of them?
Johnny Drama.
Right.
That's awesome.
Now, acting is something you've been involved with for a while. It's something you like to get into when you're in off time from training, right?
Yeah, it's fun. I have a good time with it. I mean, it's something interesting to do.
Now, when you see a weekend like this one, when Stone Cold Steve Austin's got that Condemned movie opening up, is that kind of the future you see for yourself after you get out of UFC? Is maybe you might be an actor for a living? That might be your deal?
We'll see. I mean, I'm working on it, so we'll see how that works.
You wouldn't be against it, right?
I mean, for now, I do that for fun, and I mean, I'm a fighter first, so if I can work something around my schedule. Schedule for fighting, and then I'll do some stuff. But
sure, Chuck Liddell on the line. Of course, UFC 71 is now less than 1 month away. Psycho Mike, you were just giddy like a little schoolgirl earlier today talking about this fight coming up at the end of May.
Yeah, I would say it's safe to say this is probably the most anticipated fight in the history of the organization. This is Chuck is the only man to beat you in MMA. Am I correct?
He's the last guy that beat me. It's in 2003. So. This is my last loss I have an avenge, so
it's the rematch. MGM Grand.
I'm looking forward to it. So
MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Liddell versus Jackson, UFC 71. How did he do it? How did he beat you last time, Chuck?
I just didn't perform well. I mean, he went out there and was better than me that night. I think it's just some of my training. I had some problems with training and stuff like that coming up to it, but. I mean, the biggest thing is I just didn't execute that day, so I've been wanting a rematch since the day it happened. So it's been 4 years. So
I think that
I'm looking forward to it.
That would really be frustrating. You know, you guys that are in the NBA or they play hockey or they play football or whatever, you can have a bad outing and then go out and immediately make up for it. But your fights are so far between; it must drive you crazy.
Yeah, it was just a while. I was trying to get him too. I mean, he was in different organizations, and I was disappointed when he left Pride and went to another organization before he came to the UFC. So, I was real excited when he came to the UFC, and I couldn't wait to get in there with him.
Yeah, no kidding. UFC 71, Liddell versus Jackson, is going to be Saturday night, May 26th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster or through MGM. Of course, you can watch it on cable. Go to UFC.com. And Entourage airs this Sunday night at 10 on HBO. Mike, any more gay questions for Chuck this time, or are we going to let him go unscathed?
No, Chuck, of course, I do love you. I hope that one day we can make sweet love together. But I just wish you the best of luck on May 26th. And I have full confidence in you. You're probably going to knock him out. You got dynamite in your fists. Stick with the takedown offense. You're the man. I love you.
Thank you.
Chuck, I'm sorry for him. He's
we apologize.
Thank you for talking to us, though. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, bye now. Why do you want him to stop calling?
Is that
I
what
don't.
You want?
Well, seriously, we like the dude, and you're running him off.
Stop telling him you want to make sweet love to him, then. Well, you think that entices him to call?
I have to follow my heart, Kevin.
What is wrong with you? You don't. That is some mad bongoing right there. That guy is not treating the bongos kindly. He is not hitting them lightly. 9:42, it's Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It is Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
And you get on the air, you get a prize.
And once again this morning, no, we're actually done with them, Ralph. Thank you. Once again this morning, a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A., with the all-new Universal House of Horrors. It's frightening. It's a scream-as-you-go walk-through experience inspired by characters from Universal's greatest horror movies like Dracula,
Blah.
Frankenstein,
Blah.
Chucky,
hey.
And more. No Blah. Sound for more?
All right, let's go to Harry in Fullerton. Good morning, Harry. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do?
What it do?
What hey,
it
Harry. Do?
My story is I was walking out of a Home Depot. I went through the self-checkout and a lamp didn't deactivate. And so I'm pushing my cart out of the building, and some guy chases me down and tries to citizen's arrest me.
Wow.
I'm always fascinated by the citizen's arrest.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm currently on bail.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I thought the guy was mugging me because all I feel is getting tackled to the ground.
Was this a guy that worked at Home Depot?
No, I think he was a stockbroker. It was like on a, like he was in like a suit and stuff.
Wait a
and
minute.
It's a, just a Home Depot enthusiast, that's all.
He's a guy that was just shopping there and he took it on himself to tackle you and arrest you?
No, the thing is he tried to arrest me. And so I thought I was being mugged. So I started fighting the guy. And by the time the cops came, I had him pinned down and I was beating his face in.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I, and
did the
I
cops buy this story or are you just trying this out on us?
Well, since I was on bail, I had to sit 2 weeks in Costa Mesa.
Oh.
In jail.
Got out like the other day.
Wow. I question your truth.
Yeah. You're just saying this on the air so your lawyer can play it back in court, right?
That's right.
The guy wants to press charges.
But he's okay. The one who tackled you?
Yeah, but it was assault and battery, I guess, because I beat him up because he tackled me.
But isn't that self-defense?
That's what I said. That's what I told my lawyer.
Were there no witnesses?
Don't enable him, Kevin. Don't help him.
Were there no witnesses to this?
There was witnesses, but I don't know if they're coming forward or not.
That's shaky.
You're horked. Okay.
You're horked.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Let's
go to John in San Gabriel, 1-800-520-1067. John, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What do you do, nephew?
Yo, what do you do, nephew?
What do you do?
All right, my story is a true story. I sold my motorcycle a few days ago, okay?
Right,
it's
okay.
A 2006 Suzuki Gixxer.
Right.
Very fast.
Hey!
The buyer of the bike was basically loading his bike onto his truck using flatboards.
Right.
Half of the front bike's weight was onto the truck. The other half was still on the flatboard.
Right.
Uh-huh. So the idiot decided to turn on the ignition and, like, you know, give a little throttle, but he never test drove the bike. So then he pulled the throttle too much, and the bike just slipped out of his hand and ran straight into his trunk and crashed everything. Like,
wait a minute. It was a 2006, and you had just sold it to him.
Yeah, I just sold it. I only had a few thousand miles. I sold it because, you know, I just didn't have time to ride it anymore.
Did you already have his money?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I did. Yeah, and I was outside my house, and then I heard a crash, and I went outside to take a look, and that's what happened.
That's the best.
Wow.
That's nutty.
I love that. I love that.
That's a nutty motorcycle story right there. Here's Friday's calls. These are Friday's calls. Everybody.
Hey, we got a great one. We got a great one in the well here. You're
I'll
gonna
be
love
the judge of that.
No, I'm telling you, I'll put a dollar right now that this is going to be the best call all month. You
all
ready?
Right. All right.
All right, $1. Here we go. Jennifer, I got money on you, baby. Don't let me down.
What it do?
What it do, Jennifer?
JJ?
So my parents, they went on vacation. They asked me to come watch their house because they have a dog.
Right.
And I'm over there for about an hour already. And all of a sudden, I guess in between that time, my parents must have been getting something to eat or something. I went in the shower with my girlfriend. My parents have no idea that I'm gay. And my mom comes back and is knocking on the door. She walks into the bathroom and me and my girlfriend are making out in the shower.
Oh, nice.
How great is that?
Come on.
Where's the dollar now, Garmin?
I'll send you a check.
So you're making out with your girlfriend. She doesn't know you're gay.
No, she knows
her reaction
gay.
Was...
I'm saying your parents
His girlfriend
know.
Doesn't know she's
no,
gay.
No, her mom walked in on her. She didn't know you were gay.
Oh, okay.
No, my mom's reaction was, that's it, Jennifer, that's it, and walks away and goes on her vacation.
That's it.
What does that
what
mean?
That's it.
And I haven't talked to her, like, barely until, like, this right now, and that was 6 months ago.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Wow.
Now, Jennifer, you know, there's a very serious water shortage going on throughout Los Angeles and Orange County. Did you try to go the Al Gore route, which is, look, I'm just saving valuable resources?
I guess I should have.
Well, she was making out, Bina.
Yeah, with her tongue down her throat, that's a hard sell, I think.
I was saving valuable saliva.
Jennifer, are you and your girlfriend still together?
Yes.
Are you hot?
Yeah, but she's a little hotter than me.
She's hotter than you.
Boy, that's saying something. You're a Jennifer.
Hotter than someone, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Are you the girl or the guy in that relationship?
She's girlier than I am.
Flattered. Okay.
Why don't you call your mom? Why don't you try to straighten it out with her?
Well, I'm talking to her now. Barely.
Is she like, listening
right
to the
now.
Show?
What do you mean right now?
No, she does not listen to Kara.
Oh, okay. But you said you're talking to her right now? You mean you have her on the other line?
No. Like, we just barely started talking again.
So recently. Okay. Recently.
Give us her phone number and we'll hook you two up on Monday.
We'll straighten the whole thing out for you.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to work either.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer.
No, she didn't mention Dad. Dad's all for it.
All right.
Hey, nice. Do that some more.
Let's talk to Keen in Van Nuys, who has a complaint that I think is going to hurt a member of the Kevin and Bean Show family very, very deeply.
Keen?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What it do?
What it do?
Keen?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Yeah, so what is the deal with the sign holders? Like, recently, since you had your buddy Nick on the phone, the window licker, definitely sounds like a window licker at that. I don't know. In North Hollywood by the Red Line Station, they have these guys out there, and they have these red shirts, and on the back it has like a fake NBA logo, but it's guys twirling signs. And then there'll be guys out there in the park in North Hollywood where they have like literally like training sessions, and there'll be like 20, 30 of them in
there. I've seen that. They're practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? How are you going to hate on sign holders?
I mean, it's a job, don't get me wrong. I've seen worse jobs, but it all just, like, some of them, they throw their signs up and they don't catch it, and then they have this uncomfortable smile and they point and look at you like, don't point at me because you messed up.
Yeah, it's not your fault, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you pointing at me? I was enjoying the show until you dropped it. Now you're just worthless.
Yeah.
So
that's nutty. That's nutty.
What you're saying is that people shouldn't be sign holders? Is that your point?
They shouldn't drop their sign,
should.
I think.
They should, but it's not sign twirler, it's sign holder. Just
yeah, it's getting way out of control, all the twirling. You're absolutely right.
They've got to stop twirling.
Just hold the damn sign.
Weeks ago when it was super windy, one of the guys got knocked down because he tried to catch it, and the wind caught the sign, and they pushed him.
Oh, exciting story.
That's
exciting story.
Nutty.
All right. Keen, out hold of all it. The problems that are going on in this world, how are you angry at sign holders?
No, he's got a point, Kevin.
Because they twirl them?
These sign holders are just full of themselves. It's just, they're way out of control. They need to check themselves before they wreck themselves.
Aww. Let's find out. Oh, it's Nick. Oh,
Nick.
My God. Here we go.
Hey, good morning.
I didn't want to talk to you. I'm so fed up with you and all your kind.
I don't know that guy. I don't know what I ever did to him. You know, I did nothing to do him wrong. I don't know his problem.
No, it's you and your whole group of people. It's the whole, all your kind, Nick. We're fed up with you.
Nick, do you think that Keen has a point, and maybe Ralph does too, that the sign holding has gotten out of control, to use his words?
It's a crazy life, man.
It is, I know.
It is.
Now, Nick,
life of an outlaw out there on the streets.
Are you a spinner, or are you a throw it up and catch it kind of guy? Or
spinner and kind of just twirl around my hands kind
of
guy.
Part of the problem.
Part of the problem.
Part of the problem right there.
Hey, now, there's a reason I wanted to call.
Wait a minute, Nick. Hold on. Now, if you drop the sign, do you look at Keen and say, why did you make me mess up?
I never drop my sign.
Never drop it. Okay.
Really?
I don't do that. It's just not done.
Not you done. Kids say you're twirling done. Of your signs. You know, in my day, you stood there, you held a sign like a man, where they're all showing up. Ooh, look at me. I'm twirling. Oh, I hate your people.
I'm not too flashy. I get the job done, though. I'm
good, because you don't want to be too flashy.
Yeah.
As a sign holder.
Okay, you said there's a reason you called, Nick.
Today is the one-year anniversary of me becoming a member of the Kevin and Bean family. I called in for the first time 1 year ago this day.
How do you remember that?
I have a brilliant memory.
Okay. Yeah. This is how we met you, as What A Do Nephew, right?
He called up. He said he was looking for a new job, I think, because he was a sign holder.
I'm going to start looking for a new job in June when school is over and I have an open schedule.
Okay.
Opposed to your jam-packed schedule now, Nick.
How do you feel your life has been enriched by being a member of the Kevin and Bean Show family for a full year?
A lot. I've experienced a lot of different cool things in the past year.
I'm like effing Tupac!
Yeah, like
remember that party?
Like that.
Remember the party with Omar and
Sam? I was plastered when I said that.
I'm so high!
Yeah, plastered too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Nick, I'm glad you called. Happy anniversary. What are you and Avril going to do this weekend?
I can't wait for year two. It's going to be even better.
Yeah, year two. It's going to rock.
Yeah, it is.
Is there a guarantee on year two that I'm not aware of?
Oh, yeah, we picked up his contract.
Did we sign it?
We picked up his contract.
We re-signed
him? We had an option, and we picked him up for another year.
Fantastic.
Hey, Nick, one more question. You've been associated with us for a full year now, but you are, if I'm not mistaken, still a virgin, right?
That's going to change in year two.
Okay, year two is going to be the year then. We mix
change.
It up.
Will your voice change in year two is what we're wondering.
That may be part of the problem.
All right, so Nick, 1 year from today, April 27th, you're going to have slept with a woman.
Yeah,
you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go on record and say yeah.
Keep this tape.
All right.
Okay. Play it back in a year.
Fantastic.
Get more witnesses. Thank you, Nick. Stop twirling the damn sign. Just hold it like a man.
I'm going to call you the very morning after the night I've had sex.
Okay, we'll talk to you on Monday then.
Call us during it while you're having sex.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Just dial us up. Mid-coitus.
I guarantee it, yeah.
I kept his message on my cell phone from that night,
Joe
by the way.
I'm going Joe Namath here. I'm
going to
guarantee it.
Going Joe Namath. Okay. First reference in quite some time. All right.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks,
guys.
Have a great weekend. Those of you who don't know what he's talking about, Joe Namath guaranteed to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Super Bowl III?
Yeah. Super Bowl III, and Nick's bringing it back today.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is the most famous guarantee in sports. I mean, it's a legitimate,
sure.
I think a legitimate analogy.
I think the most famous guarantee in sports is the Clippers are going to be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
That's the most famous.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Uber producer Mark Burnett. His show with Steven Spielberg called On the Lot debuts May 22nd. That's a Tuesday night on the Fox Network. Also, there's some sort of a Shrek deal at AOL. I don't really get it, but it's shrek.aol.com if you want to check that out. Thanks to Nicolas Cage for joining us. His new film in theaters today is called Next. John Cryer directs and co-stars in 2.5 Men with an all-new episode this Monday night at 9 over there on CBS. Thanks to Chuck Liddell, UFC 71. Liddell versus Jackson is Saturday night, May 26th. Not at all.
Entourage.
He's a special guest on Entourage this Sunday night at 10 on HBO. And how about our friend Tom Morello, ladies and gentlemen, from Rage Against the Machine. Closing out Coachella on Sunday night, and of course he's also playing in the 5 o'clock hour on Saturday as the Night Watchman. His debut CD from the Night Watchman is out now.
And how about Nick for spinning his sign?
Yeah,
and,
how about me?
Nick's
the best.
So Monday we're going to have a full recap of Coachella.
Kevin.
I'm a little under the weather
right now.
I'm not feeling well.
It's your job to recap.
I think I'm going to be sick.
No. But you're going to the show. Yes. Ralph and I won't be there, so you need to be the eyes and ears.
Here on Monday.
But Rage Against the Machine, Sunday night, 10:40.
Yeah,
right.
Don't care. Work to be done.
6 o'clock here.
Show up.
No, Kevin. That's what I'm saying.
Show up.
However. Well what?
Well, what are you going to be doing from the time Rage Against the Machine goes off stage, which is probably going to be around, 12:30? You got five hours to get here.
I honestly don't know.
How long is a helicopter ride?
That's
like
true,
half hour?
I wish I was taking a helicopter.
Aren't they put you in a rocket sled, like Evel Knievel or something this year?
Pulled by dogs, yeah, through the desert. And then after Coachella, which of course is today, tomorrow, and Sunday, Monday morning at 7:20, Bean and Ralph and Lisa.
And you.
Because
you're
and
showing
Kevin.
Up to work.
I'm not feeling well, I'm saying right now. I'm feeling a little something gravelly.
I'm saying you have
my throat
3
hurts.
Days to get better.
K-Rock, Weenie Roast, E-Fiesta 2007. Details.
Yay! Shut up.
All of the details Monday morning.
I'm exhausted.
Me too.
Just
that's
talking
what I'm saying.
About these concerts.
That's what I'm saying. I
One
may not
after
make it
another.
Monday.
High quality entertainment, it just won't stop.
Why won't we stop?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
No,
pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want to get high?
No.
Roll another one.
I think you do, Mom.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
No, not Rodney. It's Cat Corbin up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. K-Rock, how about some Red Hot Chili Peppers? Also, we got the Living End, Killers, Smashing Pumpkins, Incubus, and more.
Roll another one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other.
I shall continue to oppose efforts to legalize marijuana. Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
What? The record's over.
Cut. Print. That was perfect. Great job, everybody. Great job.
Au revoir. Adios.
Arrivederci. Sayonara. As we say in Boston, see you later.
You get the hell out!
Well, this has been absolutely fun. None of it is usable. We edit tremendously, and I can't see it working.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.